much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Get your earplugs ready, folks. You're gonna need them.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, Goober. Come over here, Goober. That's what I call my pet chicken. But I'm hungry right now, and you and I are going to eat. Come here, Goober. I'm going to twist your neck.
About as funny as Hitler.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All I got to do is look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah? Yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is...
What just happened?
There it is. There it is.
He shoots, he scores! It could have been Spicoli and changed the whole thing around!
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
And now, good morning, mijo. It's Tito. It's time to call about whatever you want. 1-800-521-1067.
Our feature presentation.
It is 5:31, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
And Tito is absolutely right. We don't hear much from Tito anymore. He's a little bit underemployed with the current economic times in Southern California.
Is underemployed the other word for out of work?
Well, no, because he still does. He pops by occasionally, but not as much as he used to. He's just got a tiny little bit of work. But Tito is correct. You can pick up the phone and call us toll-free from wherever you're listening to us at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, and you get a prize. That's how that works.
Okay.
So, Lisa, how come you couldn't shake your parents? This is what I've been dying to ask you ever since the broadcast last night. Lisa shows up at the Cinco de la Cinco. We were down in where the hell were we?
Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa. Yeah. And doing a Cinco de Mayo show. And Lisa shows up with her parents.
Yeah.
Well, her mom and her husband. And I'm thinking, how is it possible that they knew that this thing existed? That is just disrespectful let them know.
Well, that is bad planning.
I drove down and hung out at their house for like an hour and a half beforehand.
But then
because
they
live 10 minutes
problem.
Away.
Right, but then you say, we have a private event that I have to go to. And how do you not lie
to
them?
Harvey said, hey, we should go.
No.
It'll be fun. We could have some drinks and some chips. Well, yeah, they could have drinks and chips. So I was like, okay, let's go.
Did they hear about it on the radio?
No, I told them.
Then it's on you.
Why would I be there?
Because you're, like Kevin said, because you had
a Tuesday afternoon.
Because you had an off-air event. You were taping a breakfast or something.
You didn't like my parents?
Well, your parents were awesome.
Yeah, but
awesome.
Your parents are awesome.
But they are awesome.
It's disturbing that anyone brought their parents to that. That's all. It's just like,
I mean,
but they're fun.
Yes, but.
And we were only there for an hour.
I understand
the worst
that
could happen.
Rudy. Well, it could have been very bad. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it didn't get too crazy while your parents were there, and they didn't have to hear about too much. I mean, they did see you wearing a fake mustache, and they saw Cleo talking about weighing her breasts.
Right.
I mean, they did see that, which is, I don't know. Most people wouldn't want their parents involved in a discussion like that. But you don't know what it could have ended up being. It could have been awful, Lisa.
Well, then they would have left.
Well,
but
it still would have been on you.
I did ask to put a baby in Lisa May's mom.
That did happen. That's true.
I think we had a pot up to almost $2,000 if Psycho Mike nailed her. That didn't happen, though.
I did say to my mom at one point, if it gets too loud, just turn your hearing aid down a little.
Wow. Wow.
And she said, no worries.
Here's the thing. Nothing bad happened, and they're the best. Don't bring your parents to events.
Oh, come on.
That's all I'm saying.
It could have been awful, Lisa.
How would it have been awful?
Because you don't know.
What, a riot?
Nudity.
Is that what we're worried about?
Yeah. No, not a riot, but.
Gunfire. No. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that could happen at the K-Rock event.
Gunfire.
Definitely gunfire possible.
On Cinco de Mayo, though, it's likely.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know Mike was, yucking it up for the laughs, but. I think he was seriously, he would have done your mom if he could have.
Oh, no question.
Well,
100%.
And if Harvey hadn't been there, I think she'd have taken him on.
Well,
she was
quite sweet on him, wasn't she?
She thought he was a hunky man.
Well, all right, you're in, man.
Yeah.
That's great news.
they had a great time.
Just saying in general, not a good idea.
We got home and Harvey said, that was a blast.
Wow.
They had an awesome time.
We want to thank the folks there at the Chronic Canteen down in Costa Mesa. They were tremendous hosts. And I'll tell you what, we've done a lot of broadcasts over the year. Rarely have we been at a place that kept the tequila coming at the pace that the Chronic Cantina did.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
Shot
I mean,
it shot was shot.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you could barely get the glass back on the table before the next one showed up.
Yeah, so they were great.
They know how to party down there.
Yeah.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Looks like today is, once again, a $50 gift certificate for you at Journeys. So, please enjoy. Have some shoes. Whatever you like. $50. Can't beat that.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call, you get on the air, you get that prize. We got Trevor in Trabuco Canyon. Hi, Trevor.
How's it going?
Good.
What'd
good.
It do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, baby boo?
Good morning.
What's going on?
Oh, I have a comment for Bean if he saw Alita today.
Of course.
I see Alita every day. Come on.
Of course. He's obsessive.
Do you see what she's wearing? White pants?
Oh, yeah. You know, she brings those out pretty often.
You're offering up your backside.
Yeah, God bless her.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's it?
Bean is obsessed. Yeah, well, that's an important thing to point out.
Sir.
But
I just want to make sure before we hung up on him that he didn't have more to add to that. He's
I
just basically called just himself.
He didn't have more to add to that because there's nothing more that you could possibly add to that. She's a TV.
White pants! Woo!
She's a TV weather person.
Yeah, she sure is.
Yeah.
She sure
God.
Is.
Man, and there's...
Mike so burned me last week when I was on vacation because he went out of his way to email me to say, I think she looks better than she's ever looked today, just because he knew I couldn't see her. I mean, that's rubbing salt in the wound.
Right. But once I discovered that there were other hot women that are actually hot other places than news weather...
Right.
You know, it opened up a whole new world for me.
I hear you. I actually do like white pants.
You don't get it, man.
All right. Dave in Huntington Beach, hi.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
So, yesterday was Cinco de Mayo, and I felt like smoking some weed, of course.
Of course.
Like, I'm not that much Mexican, so why not do the white boy thing and smoke some weed? So, me and my friends were in the Huntington Beach wet, and they were just saying, man.
Yeah?
Dude, watch the language.
All right, sorry about that.
No worries.
But three middle-aged men, what are they doing walking around with nothing to do? All of a sudden, they walk up on me. They're like, hey, what's up, guys? We're cops.
Oh.
I said, oh, dude, what's going on? I had my bowl in my hand, and they said, here's what you can do with this. If you guys like to smoke reefer so much, you guys can do some community service and clean up this place because the place is filthy as all hell.
Right.
So we
said, yeah, because there's nothing but a bunch of druggies hanging around there.
Well, yeah, but we were just three kids smoking pot or whatever because it was Cinco de Mayo. And so,
sure.
Like, you need a reason.
Did you have a giant neon sign that said smoking pot?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, we were trying to keep it undercover or anything, but they were like, you know what? You can get rid of that weed, but you can keep your peace and just clean up the place and make it look pretty.
Well, that sounds like they were actually pretty cool about it.
Yeah, they were actually pretty chill, and they were all giving me tips about how not to get caught by cops.
Right.
That great.
Okay.
That's awesome.
The Huntington Beach cops, they're all right.
Maybe tip one is not carry the bowl around with you.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Huh?
Right. Hey,
by Dave's speech pattern and his voice, I'm going to guess this was your first time ever smoking weed?
Oh, no, I smoke weed.
Yeah, he's kidding.
Oh, really? Wow.
He's joking about that.
Surprise.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call.
Let's try Phil and Lomita. He's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Phil. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, Laker flags. With the first game loss, I don't see many.
What? No.
They haven't died down, dude, believe me. I mean...
Yeah, that's your interpretation, I'm afraid.
You know, it does seem like there are fewer just overall. It doesn't seem like...
Yeah, they usually come out around the second round of the playoffs. They flood the streets.
Yeah, they're not as many.
Back me up on this, though, Phil. Do you know what I'm starting to see a lot more of? Dodger flags.
Really?
It seems like that's exploded lately. These,
wow.
Exactly like the Laker flags, but they're blue and white Dodger flags.
Hey, marketing.
Yeah.
Hey, marketing. That's a good point.
The Dodgers, they tied they could break a major league record for most consecutive home wins. They have not lost at home this year.
What's the record?
It's 12. They tied it last night with 12 home major.
12 is the all-time record for a baseball
for
game?
Starting a season with home victories.
Yeah, that's the important distinction, right?
Okay, all right. Let's go to Brian in Irvine. Hey, Brian.
What to do, nephew?
What to do?
What to do?
Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, you guys were talking on Monday about
the new sound you guys wanted for an ugly woman. And
yes.
I have the perfect solution. A clip of Fran Drescher's laugh.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I think that's really smart.
Oh,
that's
wow.
an interesting idea.
Well,
very creative.
It's a coverall for not only kind of just ugly women, but also annoying women.
Annoying,
well.
Yeah.
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 Oh.
So
interesting.
I think it could really, really work, yeah.
Cool idea.
Okay. We'll definitely add that. That's a good idea.
All right, excellent.
I have one major concern about that. Fran Drescher's hot.
She's not ugly.
That's the only problem I had with it, too. She's got an unbelievable body, too, which, you know, I'd be willing to put up with a lot coming out of that mouth.
But
because that thing just turns me off. I mean, instant.
Yeah, that laugh.
It's so
that
ugly.
Laugh is
her
a deal breaker.
That's a slide whistle right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's try it. Let's just try it and see how it goes.
All right, we'll see if we can find it.
Okay.
The Fran Drescher laugh. We'll work on that today. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Wednesday. It's the 6th of May. I see them.
That's right. They're breasts.
Today on the program, we're going to ask a Marine.
Oh, right.
Give you a chance to do that. Guy's been in Iraq/Afghanistan
three times.
Three times,
yeah.
I want to say.
Dude.
I heard. So
don't you change your name and social security number after the first time?
Well, I don't know. We could ask.
Can't you make it harder for them to find you? Come on.
Also on the program today, hangover cures for those of you that have had a little too much last night.
Just in time.
We had a guy on the phone who hung up, but he said that it was an all-nighter last night.
Ooh.
And he was on his way to New York right now, which is not good,
oh,
I wouldn't
God.
Think. So, hangover cures just after 6 if you have one, especially if it's like an old family recipe or something that's been passed down.
Okay.
We're going to need that. A crazy K-Rock listener that has a bean tattoo. That tells you everything you need to know about her, huh?
They really should go in for like a 3-day lockup.
Yeah.
Just to check.
I agree.
Who would ever do that?
3-day nothing. Just send
just
them,
lock them away?
Send them to Cuba.
Throw away the key.
I'm as horrified as you guys are.
He stars in Star Trek. We have John Cho on the program today.
Hey!
Nicely done. And the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. More tickets for you to win this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Right there is a band called Weezer. They're on the bill for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2009. Of course, tickets go on sale tomorrow afternoon. Oh, wait. Is today Thursday or today Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. So they go on sale tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. You must be a street team member. Easy to do. Takes 30 seconds. It's free. You sign up at krock.com and then be in front of your computer. That's the only way to buy your tickets at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, we've got more that you can win coming up later this morning on the Kevin Bean Show.
Amazing weenie roast. Yay, fiesta.
Yeah, yay, fiesta. Thank you, Rodney. 548. Ralph Garman joins us. Hey, Ralph, how are you, man?
A little worse for wear.
Yeah.
That happens.
Oh, I know.
Good time
was,
last night?
I was the last one there. I was the only one from the show still drinking last night. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Where's Kevin? Gone. Where's Bean? Gone. Where's Lisa? Gone.
I think I left about 8.
Everybody's coming up to me. Where's everybody? Gone.
I think Bean left it.
Bean left it
6:02. And so I was partying with the peeps.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Ralph and I almost
a nice group of people.
We
very
almost
nice.
Took down a giant Samoan bouncer, Ralph and I. We were looking at each other like, let's go.
Come on, bring it. Bring it, Mr. Moto. Then he backed down, so he saved his own life that day.
Yeah, none of that happened.
No,
he told us to get out of the way. We said, okay,
yes,
sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. Take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Do you know it's 8 years ago today that Bonnie Lee Bakley was found dead outside a restaurant in Studio City, the wife of actor Robert Blake?
8 years ago?
8 years ago.
Wow.
Can't believe that the anniversary of that is today. So, as I do every year on this date, I'm taking the wife over to Vitello's.
Yeah.
Just to keep her in line.
That's a nice touch.
Just a reminder what can happen.
And then do you say...
Should she smart off?
Do you say at some point, I'm going to go out to the car to get a little something?
Yeah. Oh, I left my gun in the booth. Oh, why don't you go wait in the car? That's what I say. I order the ravioli.
Since you actually do go to that place, what do they do with the Robert Blake table? Has it become some sort of macabre crime scene tourist attraction?
Yeah, they've got a Robert Blake wax figure that sits in there and it's roped off. And, you know, for $5 you can sit down and have your picture taken with him. No, I don't even know what table it is. I don't think they've
I don't think they would want to publicize that.
I'm
sure
no
they wouldn't.
Know.
But a lot of times people find out stuff like that and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know which table it was, but they pretty much play down that.
Sure.
That incident at that restaurant. Right. Can't say that I blames him. Paula Abdul, remember all that time on American Idol? We said, wow, she must be high on goofballs. She must be loaded on drugs. She must be out of her mind on painkillers.
Something.
And she said, no, no, no. Well, it turns out all those years she was on painkillers.
Is that right?
Yep. She tells the Ladies Home Journal magazine. By the way, I didn't know that was still being published.
They do the hardest-hitting news pieces of any magazine.
She said that she finally got off drugs last November when she popped into the La Costa Resort and Spa. That's where she detoxed.
Wow.
Well, I heard that she had a lot of back trouble, so she was taking a lot of...
She had a car accident that caused an injury in 1992.
Right.
And then a plane crash in 1993.
Plane crash?
Yeah. Both of those severely injured her back, requiring 15 different spinal surgeries.
Wow. What was she like this year? Did she seem like she was better?
She's an idiot, but she's much more...
lucid.
She's lucid.
Yeah. Coherent, yeah.
Huh.
But all that time when she was goofy, we said she's on something, and she kept denying it. Turns out she was.
Yeah. Mm. What a surprise. Mm.
So, doesn't make her any smarter. Just makes her easier to understand.
They need to put a time clock on all the judges, but in particular, Paula.
Yeah, she can ramble.
Yeah.
She can ramble.
Oh, you know this Carrie Prejean, this Miss California?
Sure.
She may lose her title. They may strip her of her crown.
Because?
Love it. Love it.
Because she posed semi-nude, Lisa.
Semi-nude?
Yeah, she's got, there's a photo of her on the internet wearing just panties and kind of covering her boobs with her hands.
What kind of country are we living in when that's not okay?
Well, apparently the contract with the Miss California pageant prohibits her from being photographed in a state of partial nudity.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Yeah. Carrie says that the reason those photos were released on the internet because it's an attempt by someone to belittle her Christianity.
What?
Because, you know, she's signed on now to do this, the same-sex marriage battle. She's going to do this countrywide tour against same-sex marriage.
But she represents all that is moral,
but
Kevin.
Did someone put a gun to her and make her take that picture?
I don't believe so, no.
Well, then what's she talking about?
Someone's trying to belittle her Christianity.
Mm.
How dare they?
Harvey, our pal Harvey at TMZ.com says he's not going to publish the photo until he can verify that she was 18. By the way, that's the other aspect of this controversy is that her people are claiming that she was 17 at the time the picture was taken.
Well, she's not nude, and you don't really see anything.
Right, right.
So I think
Harvey's
just
playing it safe.
Put it up! Put them on the glass, Harvey!
Yeah, guys.
Also, there is a Christian evangelical church that is furious with Miss California because she had her breasts augmented.
You
can't
happening?
Please everyone.
It's hysterical. Let me read you this statement because it's really very funny. The fakery that produced the body of this woman
fakery
is the embodiment of the fakery of the false church in America that is in bed with the world. It is right and fitting that this beauty pageant contestant is being upheld because, in all honesty, a nearly naked woman strutting her surgically enhanced body parts in front of men while mouthing moral platitudes is the very picture of the carnal church today. Weep.
Weep?
Okay.
They wrote weep.
They wrote weep.
By the way, you call those cheap implants boobs? Those aren't boobs. They're lies.
Weep.
That's weep.
Awesome.
Sorry, I can't. I'm too busy laughing at you. I can't weep right now.
Weep. Who writes weep? For
Don't
any
tell.
Reason. Yeah, that's it.
I'm weep.
Weep.
Megan Fox
says
she is not into metrosexuals. Sorry, Mike. You're out.
Hey.
Too bad.
The rumors are that she's hooking up with Robert Pattinson. From Twilight.
Then she has to like it, doesn't she?
But that's what, in response to that, she says that's just not true.
Oh.
She said, first of all, he is too young and too pretty for her. She said he just gave her a light at a nightclub, and that's the extent of their relationship. So they have met, but there's nothing going on. Meg says that she thinks men in their 20s have nothing to offer. She likes her men older, she says.
Okay. Hey. There you go. Good news.
Smart, good smart news. Girl, Meg.
Yeah. I should mention again, for folks who weren't listening yesterday, that there is a link on KROQ.com in the Kevin Bean section to the Megan Fox Esquire movie that was shot.
Yeah,
Esquire magazine put a promotional movie out to celebrate her being on the cover and in the magazine this month. And it is one of the greatest things you'll ever see, and you owe it to yourself immediately to go to the website and check it out.
You can find that at the Internet Roundup, KROQ.com.
Spider-Man's in prison.
Spider-Man?
Yeah. Apparently, there was a fight in a London bar between Spider-Man and Oompa Loompa and Tinky Winky of the Teletubbies.
Okay. Explain.
There were three guys in a bar. Yeah. One was dressed as an Oompa Loompa.
Was this Halloween?
No.
What kind of,
one was dressed as Spider-Man and one was dressed as Tinky Winky. The three of them walked into the bar together, got drunk, and started a fight. and all three of them ended up in prison.
I am confused by this story. Why would they do that? Why would they dress up like that?
We don't know.
Oh. Was a priest and a rabbi there?
No, I mean, just an Oompa Loompa, Spider-Man, and Tinky Winky walking to a bar.
What is happening?
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know.
Does the bartender say why the long face? I mean, is there any part of this?
This isn't just a joke. This is an actual news story.
All right.
I just thought it was interesting that an Oompa Loompa, Spider-Man, and Tinky Winky got into a brawl in a bar.
Well, it is.
You think Spider-Man would clean up?
You'd think.
He's got spider powers and stuff. He's got webs. What's an Oompa Loompa going to do? Make you a chocolate bar? How dangerous is that?
Just feed you a lot of them, though, and then you get sick.
You get diabetes. It's not a good injury, but it's, you know, it's a little long form, but still.
But 40 years later, man, they rule.
Oh, packs a punch. Catch American Idol last night?
Nope.
Come on, it was rock night, Kevin.
Nope.
Rock
you would have enjoyed it, Kevin.
Nope.
Adam Lambert, the gay Elvis impersonator, did Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love.
All right, oh, okay. Better.
I can see that. Yeah. I didn't watch.
Better than Disco Night. Watching,
but better than Disco Night.
It was the most rocking evening in the history of American Idol in terms of it not being a pop show, actually being rock and roll with loud guitars. You just don't see that on that show very often.
Alison Irohita, our hometown girl, did Joplin's Cry Baby, Janis Joplin's Cry Baby. Hmm? Chris Allen did The Beatles Come Together. You would love that, Kevin. Oh. The Beatles and American Idol in
can't
one
get enough of that.
Fell swoop. And Danny Gokey apparently did Aerosmith's Dream On.
So when you said you weren't going to watch...
I didn't watch last
night. Okay, good.
Then, Kevin, they all came out and did duets together.
Oh, no.
They teamed them up for duets, so they all got two chances to sing last
night.
That's
the kind of stuff that drives me crazy.
Well, they got an hour to kill.
Right, but it's
so few people
clearly
now.
Just a time filler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't eliminate anyone based on a duet.
Like they used to like have the contestants at this point do two songs during the show.
No, it's duets.
I think they're playing more commercials or something, or there's more BS going on. I don't have room for that anymore.
That isn't good for you.
And lastly, Christina Aguilera is going to make her big screen debut.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She's going to do a movie. Variety says that she is going to star in a movie called Burlesque.
All right.
She will play a small-town girl with a big voice who moves to L.A. and works in a burlesque club where she meets friends and the friends become like family.
Okay.
Anyone?
I was in until you described the plot, which doesn't sound very good.
It sounds like Coyote Ugly, basically, in a burlesque joint, you know? Look, if she sings and, you know, takes her clothes off, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Just don't let that Lady Gaga up on stage. She scares me.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Bob Seger is 64 years old today. Actor Alan Dale, who plays Charles Widmore on Lost... He's a scary dude.
He is.
He's 62 years old today. TV host Tom Bergeron is 54. You know, of all the TV hosts for all those crappy reality shows, Bergeron's the best, I think.
Which one does he do?
He does Dancing with the Stars. He's a real good host.
I know that guy. Yeah.
He's great. He's great.
Surprisingly swole, too. Don't let let him in a suit or in clothes fool you. He strips down. He's swole.
All right. Why have you seen Tom Bergeron stripped down?
I haven't seen him stripped down, but I've seen him in a tank top at the gym pumping up a little bit, and I'm like, look at Berg.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
I said, look at TB over there putting in work.
All right. Roma Downey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Touched by an angel.
Touch this angel.
Isn't she also Mark Burnett's wife?
Yes.
Yeah, she's 49 years old today. George Clooney's 48 today. Old.
Ugly.
Ugly old loser. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 38 years old. And Adrian Palicki.
Ooh.
From Friday Night Lights celebrates her 26th
She's
birthday
Tyra.
Today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last two people on Earth watching that show.
Really? No.
Guys, if you putting it on for those two.
If you saw her, you would watch this show too.
Yeah, she's really hot.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. My crotch really, really loves it.
Jeez, there's only one show where I can get hot girls. It's Friday Night Lights. It's the only place I can find them.
Well, there's only one where you can get Adrian Palicki and Minka Kelly, I'll tell you that.
First of all, too many effed up names on that show. Minka and Palicki.
But most importantly, that's not why he watches.
No, of course not.
It has nothing to do with it.
He's watching for Coach Phillips.
And his groin, blowing his whistle
his groin
and whatnot.
Bulge. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
We got a lot of calls, a lot of emails here at the Kevin Bean Show begging us to get Nirvana on the bill for the Weenie Roast next weekend. I'm sorry, unavailable this year. Perhaps we'll try for 2010, but they're not able to make it. But it is a fantastic lineup despite that, and your chance to win your tickets coming up very soon on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus, from the new Star Trek movie, we've got the new Mr. Sulu, actor John Cho, coming up.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a hangover cure, it seems like. Different one. Most people just think if you have something greasy, you know, whatever, you maybe you take some aspirin the night before.
Right.
Most of them don't work all that well.
Yeah.
But we thought we'd take some calls from you, the K-Rock audience, after a drinking holiday like yesterday, on how you get over hangovers, hangover cures.
It is interesting, and the number is 1-800-520-1067. It is interesting that for years, for hundreds of years, people have woken up the next day and thought, man, do I feel awful, what can I do? In recent years, though, we've started to see more and more of, hey, I know I'm going to feel that way tomorrow. What can I do ahead of time before I start drinking? That really seems to be the to be the area where people have started to put a lot of time. But we're past that. It's already too late. It's May 6th. So if you've got the thing that you do before you get drunk, that's not going to help the poor people who are waking up this morning and have to figure out a way to pull it together to get to work. So we need to know what to do for those people after. We need the morning after pill for getting undrunk. That's what we're looking for here today.
And we should probably start with a girl named Rachel who was at the Costa Mesa Chronic Cantina last night.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Remember all Rachel?
Right.
Rachel.
Yes. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Rachel.
Hi.
Rachel.
How you feeling?
Oh, God.
Rachel.
Fluids. Good.
Rachel, you were at the Cinco de la Cinco broadcast yesterday in Costa Mesa. Is that what we're being told?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and which one were you?
I was the one just really, really, really drunk, and...
Okay, that doesn't narrow it down at all.
Chuck Norris book.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris. Oh, the one who deep throats a beer bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how she drinks beer. Is she pretty much, you can just see the bottom of the bottle when she's drinking it.
She was one of the most popular people there yesterday, thanks to that skill. So what happened after the party?
We were going to go and get Norms, because Norms is awesome, and you don't have Norms up here in Los Angeles for, I don't know, reason.
Right.
And I just couldn't, I just couldn't stand up, even.
And you ended up in the hospital?
Yeah, Huntington Beach.
You pulled a David Hasselhoff on us.
I'm sorry.
What was your blood alcohol level?
0.1.
Wow.
Whoa. You mean 1.0?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what she means, right? Yes. Yeah, 1.0.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, they just basically told me that, and I'm like, oh, yay.
Yeah.
Can I just say that you sound remarkably alert for someone who had 1.0 in her system last night?
I liquids. They gave me liquids, and they made sure I was cognizant before I left.
Right.
Okay. But
I would suggest, and this is just me, one of the things that works for me for hangovers is keep drinking. So... I would suggest you do a couple of shots. Si, senorita?
No.
Just a couple of shots.
Kevin's theory is it's better to stay drunk than to endure the pain of a hangover.
Right, hair of the dog.
Oh, no, it was great because then we went and we, after the hospital, we went and made sure to get food and stuff, and, like, someone was having alcohol there, and I couldn't even look at it.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Now that'll pass.
You're a lightweight. All right,
I'm glad you survived.
Thanks, you guys.
You're the best. Good
luck.
You
guys threw a great party.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right.
I don't care what everyone thinks. I know I am not an alcoholic.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Patty on line one this morning. She's got a hangover cure, which a lot of people need on Seis de Mayo. That's why we're doing this public service today. Hey, Patty.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Hi, yes, I'm calling in because actually I have two things.
Okay.
If you get drunk and once you get home, all you have to do is drink an aspirin and a big glass of water to prevent the hydration from your body.
Right.
But once you get up in the morning, you should feel fine. If you don't feel fine, the best thing to cure any type of nausea is just smoking a bowl. You smoke a bowl.
I like it.
Take your shower. And you're good once you come out. You even have an appetite after.
And if you can time it perfectly, you smoke the bowl, and then you go drinking again. And you can just keep that up for the rest of your life.
Yep. And then you just keep on cool. You know, you're smoothing through. So smoking a bowl is the best remedy for any type of nausea, any time, anywhere.
There you go.
All right.
So if you want to keep on cool, that's what you do, says Patty.
Thank you, Patty.
Appreciate that.
All right, let's try William. Good morning, William.
How you doing?
Hangover cures, what do you got?
My brother talked to a pharmacist, and he told him to take like 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C and as much water as you can stomach that night, whether it's a half a cup or two or three cups. And if you get headaches the next day, take aspirin. And I've gotten
Wait a minute. Vitamin C?
Vitamin C. Hmm. That's it. You know, they sell it in the nice little jars. They're not that expensive.
Did right. you try it?
Oh, yeah.
And it works?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that the thing that gets depleted is vitamin B something or another. I didn't think it was C.
Hmm.
That's what we've been using for years. Huh. Show up the next day at work, you're fine.
Wow.
Okay, well.
That seems easy.
Some of our listeners are willing to try anything at this point. If their alarm went off at 6 o'clock and they realize they've got a face today, they're happy to hear at least there's something to try.
Yeah.
The only thing is you have to do it the night before. It won't work in the morning.
Vitamin C won't work.
Yeah, when you get home, before you go to bed, that's the time to do it.
Okay.
Okay, so this doesn't help us at all then. Thank you very much.
All right, well, it'll help us next time, but not necessarily for this group
of people. Let's do one more before the break. It's going to be Brandon on line 4. Now, this sounds a little bit more elaborate, but let's see if Brandon's got an idea on how we can help. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, I was going through combat medic training when I was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a bunch of us went out one night, and we just got plastered. And we had a couple of these saline solution. It's basically just salt water.
Right.
So the next morning, one of my corpsman buddies sees one of the medical doctors, I guess, and he taught us, we all just stuck each other the next morning, not with the same needle, obviously.
Oh, and, needle. Okay, good. Whew.
Not with the same needle. And right after the bag finished, about 15, 20 minutes later, we all felt great.
So give yourself an IV is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, how are people supposed to do that?
Right, but how...
How's a normal person this morning waking up hungover supposed to do that?
I don't know. But I'm just
no, he is just saying.
If you have a friend that's in the medical field.
Okay. Very specific. Okay.
Now, if you don't have access to saline solution, can you just go in the ocean?
That's a possibility.
And just drink.
That could work.
All right.
Okay.
Get out there and try it, people. All right, let's take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It is Hangover Cures, and we'll continue right after.
This morning is Seis de Mayo. This is where you need our help. If you maybe had a little bit too much celebrating for the holiday last night, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I don't know what to do with this information from Kate, who emails that she is a nurse and says that alcohol acts as a blood thinner, as does aspirin. And it's a terrible idea to take them together.
What?
I was thinking that when that person was saying that, make sure you take aspirin before you go to sleep. I was thinking to myself, that might be the worst idea ever, but I didn't want to say
anything. But people do that all the time, don't they?
I think it's the caffeine in
the aspirin
that helps you feel better.
Oh, okay.
I think.
So
I
just do that. She recommends that ibuprofen, like Advil, is probably the best idea.
Okay.
She says if you can take something like that. So anyway, that's and by the way, this might be an outstanding time to mention that we are actually, I know you think we are, but we're actually not medical doctors, so all of these ideas are something maybe you ought to run by somebody who knows more than we do. Right?
Anything you hear on this program, that's a good policy.
Okay.
Let's try Andrew on line 2, please. He has got what I think is a great idea every day, not just when you're drinking. Good morning, Andrew.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Hangover cures.
The best hangover cure the morning after is a chicken burrito and a couple Red Bulls, and you'll feel golden in about 45 minutes.
Chicken burrito.
Sounds like a fantastic breakfast anyway.
I have no idea why it works, but I work construction, and I've tried it for years and years and years.
Did you try other foods, other chicken, other types of food, and this is the only thing that works for you?
Tried a little bit of everything, but a chicken burrito with beans, rice, and cheese, and that's the cure right there.
All right, there you go. And a couple of Red Bulls. Thank you.
I mean, that kind of sounds similar to the... I have to have a Jack in the Box right now, late in the night.
Right.
Sounds like it's trying to accomplish the same soaking it up or whatever it does.
Let's talk to Sean and find out what he has to say. Sean, hi.
Hey, what's up? How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
What's up?
Hangover cures.
Oh, best ever, no joke, is black coffee with salt.
Black coffee with salt? Why salt?
Wouldn't that make you throw up?
It does, but at the same time, the caffeine.
Would you mind if I back up and to the part where you throw up? Aren't we trying to avoid that?
Well, you are, but at the same time, you're trying to cure the headache as well.
Okay, and that's the caffeine part, right? I think caffeine works well for that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the salt makes you throw up, so it's the best of both worlds.
Huh.
I've been doing it for 3 or 4 years now, and it's the best.
As a weight gain plan? Weight loss?
Sounds like you might be bulimic is what it sounds like to me.
All right, black coffee and salt. There you go. I think we're being set up by Sean, but what are you going to do?
It does sound that way. Let's try Juan, line 3. He has maybe more of a medical solution. Hey, Juan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you have for us?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Shout out to Mike and Ralph real quick. They don't want to forget them.
Okay.
Listen, I learned this when I was in the Marine Corps stationed in 29 Palms, which, if you know anybody that was there, it's like the devil's butthole. It's hot as hell. It's hot as hell, and there's nothing there. You don't want to be there. So this is through trial and error.
Okay.
And lots of it. It's Pedialyte.
Pedialyte is, oh, that's what you give kids when they're throwing up a lot, when they lose
fluids.
Exactly.
Because what a hangover is just due to dehydration. And Pedialyte is given to infants and toddlers when, you know, they have the runs or whatever. Their body can't retain fluids, so they're constantly dehydrated. So
okay.
Pedialyte is
all right.
Full of electrolytes. The salt and sugar combinations will rehydrate you. I that guarantee.
Sounds like it makes sense.
Guarantee anybody that has Pedialyte will be all good right. to go within like the hour or two.
All right.
Good to know.
Okay. That's a great suggestion. Pedialyte, by the way, is an over-the-counter. You can buy it in any drugstore. That sounds like it'd definitely be worth trying.
Grape is by far the most palatable, too, by the way.
Okay,
it's
good.
It's the only one you can choke down.
Let's go to Mike on line four. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what up? What up, Lisa May? What up, Kevin?
Good morning.
What up,
what's happening, man?
All right, check it out. Perfect solution for the hangover. Mana V. I don't know if you ever seen it on the windows, on the car windows, on the freeway or something. It's like an all-natural drink, but I've been up all night, like 24 hours, like partying, drinking, coming out of the club, about to just yak all over the place. And one of my buddies happens to be a hardcore alcoholic.
Okay, so good. That's always good.
This guy's always looking for ways to get the best part of drinking
sure.
without the worst,
without the
part
worst yeah.
in the morning.
Okay.
Yes.
So is this something you can buy at a drugstore, Monavie?
No, you can buy it from, like, there's, like, vendors. You can buy it from fitness stores.
All right.
Mike, have you heard of this?
Yeah, isn't it, like, berry extracts and a bunch of different, yeah, you know, antioxidant blends?
Yeah.
It's from the Amazon rainforest, supposedly, but my buddy busts out this little stash bottle, and he's like, here, dude, pour me a cup. You know, I'm just fresh out of the club. I'm all sweaty. Got cotton mouth from drinking too much. I'm about to fall out, pass out.
And that works.
He's like, here, dude, drink this.
All right.
I drank it, like, maybe an hour in the drive home. I'm just like, hey, are we still going home or we're going to, you know,
have
we're going
some
to
more drinks.
Club or what?
Yeah,
that's
he's
right.
ready for round two.
That's how you do it.
All right, Monavi. So we're learning new words today. Pedialyte and Monavi. All right, let's close with one more. Chris is on line six. I think this may even be more fun than either of those two. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hangover cures.
I would start out with some nice morning sex and then a nice cold shower.
You know we're talking about hangover cures, right?
Yeah, that works every time.
All right.
Takes the blood away from your head so you don't have no headache.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take one for the team and ride a moped, but it always works.
Okay, thank you. That's a great tip.
All right.
So which do we like the most? Bag of weed?
Well, probably, I mean, yeah. I think there's some pretty good suggestions. I mean, I think, you know, try them all. You got to, 7 days from now, call us back and let us know which one worked the best.
106.7 hey! K-Rock, nope. Nope. It's KROQ at 639.
I know we're going to talk to one of America's most entertaining sports guys in just a moment, Kevin, but I have to ask, because you were at the party last night, did you see the controversy at the Ducks-Red Wings game?
Yes, did you miss it? I did, and nothing's made me happier in my whole life.
What happened?
Really? Oh, I hate that. I hate it when a referee or an umpire
too.
Is involved in the outcome of a game.
Unless
it sucks
it's the
for
Detroit
the
Red Wings.
Even when it's the
nope.
Red Wings, it hates.
What happened is the ref's supposed to blow the whistle if he loses track of the puck. Well, the puck was sitting on the goal line behind the goalie. The goalie didn't know it. Referee blew the whistle. This is like with a minute to go in the game.
Yeah.
The Red Wings score, he calls it off. No goal. I blew the whistle, and it's not reviewable. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
It's
but you're
horrible.
Not really happy about
I'm
that, though.
I want bad things to happen to Detroit. Yes, I am.
Don't you just want Anaheim to beat them without
yep.
the
Don't
benefit
care.
Of the referee? Okay.
Don't care either. I mean, I'd rather if I have my choice, but if that's the only way, I'm good with it.
That works
as
for
long
you.
As long as the Red Wings are out,
yep.
right?
Yep, yep, yep.
Anyway,
yep.
it was – so congratulations. Anaheim is up 2-1 in their request for another Stanley Cup. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. I said one of America's most entertaining new sports figures on the scene. mean, we have been hearing all about Scoops Callahan from our listeners, and he joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Tom Gribble is the name. He goes by Scoops Callahan. Hey, Tom, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you.
I can't believe I'm being described as one of the most entertaining sports figures on the scene
well,
right now.
You know, every sportscaster kind of has to figure out what their deal is, what their hook
their
is.
Their angle.
Yeah, kind of their angle, yeah. Their personality. You've picked a really bizarre one, and that is like a 1920s sports reporter.
Yeah, it's just one of those goofy, weird things. I mean, you talk about me being a sportscaster. I'm a lowly producer. I'm a behind-the-scenes guy. And this idea just kind of came up about 10 years ago, me and Kid Craddock. I was working at Kiss FM in Dallas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we were discussing, you know, just bits that we could do. During a Texas Rangers playoff run, which shows you how long ago that was.
Sure, yeah.
No kidding.
And this idea of doing sports interviews like the old boxing reporters from the Roaring Twenties came up, and we got to giggling about it, but we said it's not really right for our show. So that idea sort of just disappeared, and lo and behold, I end up at a sports station at the Ticket here in Dallas a few years later, and I just kind of, hey, this idea just might work. So we gave it a shot, and it seems to be working okay.
For those of you that don't know what that sounds like, it's a whole different language that the reporters
Absolutely.
Used in the 20s.
Yeah.
A whole
and a different delivery, too.
I have some clips. This first one is the coach of the University of Texas.
Okay.
And, Tom, most of these people seem mildly annoyed by you, which
mildly.
I like. Which I like.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. Yeah,
but also amused though.
Sure.
I mean, it seems like they enjoy it because at least it breaks up the monotony of the same old boring guys all the time.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Some of the regular sports reporters don't get is that these coaches and players really are bored to death.
Yeah,
by
of course.
Ordinary questions. So when I walk in and ask my silly question. It does. Some of these guys with a sense of humor just roll with the punches, and they think it's pretty funny.
All right, now, this is the coach of the University of Texas, Mac Brown, and he makes no reference to it whatsoever. He acts like it's just a normal question.
So we're going to go win in Houston.
So your defense has been the cat's meow all year long. How did Stephen McGee give your boys the business?
Stephen's a good player.
And he just goes on. How did they give your boys the business? You have to write that stuff down ahead of time. Like, I don't even know what a 1920s sports reporter would sound like.
I do. I wish I could say that I have all this verbiage right off the top of my head. I don't. I have a whole list of lingo and slang in front of me, and over the course of the game, I try to get a feel for what's actually going on, because part of this, I have two rules about the interviews. I actually try to let the legitimate sports media go ahead and ask their questions first. I try not to shoot the wheels off these press conferences.
Right, good.
Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is that I'm going to ask a legitimate sports question. I'm not going to ask anything crazy and off the wall.
So it's a goofy right. way of asking it, but it's
exactly.
a decent question.
It's a legitimate sports question, just ask in a ridiculous, silly way.
All right.
Right. Now, Scoops, how many of these have you done?
I think I've done close to 30 of these right now, as of now.
Wow. Okay, because there's a handful of up at YouTube, and also we've got a link at the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com as well.
Well,
who's got a better sense of humor than Bill Belichick, though?
Well, he's known as a party.
Here's the question that Scoops asked of him.
Sam, talk about your B-Town offense in the second half. They treated the boys from Big D like a couple of flapper girls who were a little loopy on the old gin and juice.
Next.
And that was after a win.
Next.
Yeah, well, he's never happy, let's face it. That dude. I mean, he's the same in the post-game press conference after they win the Super Bowl as after they lose the Super Bowl. That's the thing about Belichick.
Yeah.
However, Tom Brady couldn't have been more entertained, right? I mean, he just had the best sense of humor about it. Was he one of the ones who seemed to enjoy Scoops the most?
Oh, absolutely. Him and LeBron James. Those guys just kind of rolled with it, and they had a good time with it.
Here's Tom Brady.
Jam, talk about the long touchdown pass to Dante Stallworth. It looked like you two were doing the jitterbug while the Dallas secondary was doing the Charleston.
Is that right? I don't know what the hell that means, but it was a great route. And
he goes on to answer it.
Tom, how nervous are you before you step up to ask the question?
Incredibly nervous. Like I said, I'm a behind-the-scenes guy. I'm not somebody that's on the mic every show. I'm not on the air all the time. So right. to sit there and put myself out there like that is something that's not very natural. And
I'll bet
it's kind of interesting that I can kind of hide behind this character and the lines that I have scripted out for me. I kind of hide behind that because there's just no way I could do something like this just being Tom.
I'll bet the other sports reporters hate you.
There, it's really kind of interesting. The most of the local guys think it's kind of funny.
Right.
Most of them. It's the out-of-town guys. I've been called the sports moron from Dallas by
yes.
the Boston media.
Yes.
The Phoenix media has gotten on me. I had a guy from New York who confronted me about 10 minutes after I did this with Eli Manning. And just gave me the, just 20 questions about who do I think I am and what do you think you're doing and
wow.
this is disrespectful to our profession. And I'm like, well,
yeah, they're
okay,
just athletes
whatever.
And coaches. Take it easy. All right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
This
exactly.
is
yeah.
this is Scoops.
You're just having fun. That's all.
This is Scoops with the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich.
Jam, tell me about your fiery Francophile, the Parisian torpedo, Tony Parker. Can he continue to be your main butter and egg man and still croak the boys from Big D?
Am I being punked or something? Or
am I being punked?
Hey, Tom, are you these days with the internet? Of course, nothing stays a local secret anymore. But are you surprised with how much press you're getting since your videos have gone up?
Yeah, I'm shocked. Yeah, this thing is. I knew this was a decent idea, and I was really happy when it kind of took off locally that the guys on the show and our listeners really got into it. I was really thrilled with that, but I had no idea people around in these other markets would start jumping on board with this thing. I'm blown away by it.
Maybe the guy that took it with the best sense of humor is golfer Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And here's that.
Yeah.
Champ, was the key to winning today's tournament putting out the old Billy Baru and sinking those putts like a Tommy Gun on Valentine's Day?
Why are you yelling? You're a foot from me.
Scoops Callahan for the ticket here, Phil. Congratulations.
Thank you, Scoops. You know, it was a fun round, and to birdie the last hole to win by one was an awesome feeling. Scoops.
Why are you yelling at me? You're a foot away.
I know, yeah. That's
awesome.
That's one of the things I get a lot of, either from the players or from other people in the locker room or from the media reps. It's like, you really don't have to yell, sir. You
yeah.
really have to keep an appropriate tone.
Yeah.
Tom Gribble, a.k.a. Scoops Callahan from The Ticket in Dallas. You are the bee's knees, my friend. Thank you for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, I enjoyed being on. Thanks, guys.
I don't know if this is inappropriate or not, but I think the chick with the face transplant is kind of hot.
Oh,
I don't know if you've seen the picture, but I think she looks...
That is so... Even
what?
For
I'm
you,
saying.
That is
even
a low
for
blow.
You. She looks better. That's
it's a low blow.
Hey, we have a huge 7 o'clock hour for you straight ahead on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're going to talk to a woman who made maybe the worst decision of her life, and that's to get a tattoo of my autograph on her back. So I don't know what that's about, but we'll find out when we talk to her in a few minutes. And it's Ask a Marine next hour. If you've always had questions for our men and women in uniform, you'll have a chance to ask a Marine. That's coming up. It's 6:54, time for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Picking on the face woman.
I'm not picking on her. I'm complimenting her. I'm saying she looks good.
Yeah, that's
she
what you're
doesn't.
Saying.
Compared to
she
how
doesn't,
she looked,
we all know she doesn't.
Compared to how she looked when she had buckshot in her face and lost most of it all those years ago, it's a big improvement.
Those of you who don't know the story, she got shot in the face with a shotgun. And
by her husband.
Yeah. And then
blew off 80% of her face.
Yeah.
Children
I mean,
were pointing and screaming in horror as she would walk down the street.
Yeah.
She used to carry her photo driver's license around with her so she could show people what she looked like before the accident.
That's rough.
So she had the first ever face transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm saying she looks good. I don't know how there's a negative
she doesn't
there.
Look good.
Compared
it's
to
a
how
lot
she
of work still
before.
To be done, but at least she's able to move her mouth and eat food and taste food again and things like that.
Bean's a genius and he's really smart, but he's got no soul and he's got no heart.
There is that.
Yeah.
So. And they're going to tighten up
tragic.
That skin around her face, though,
tragic
and she's going to look
story.
A lot better in a few years.
It's just tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a happy ending.
What?
I don't even want to hear about that.
The happy ending is that she got a face transplant. That's way better than going through her life looking like the, like
yes,
she did before.
Absolutely.
That's
speaking
all I'm
of getting
saying,
shot
guys.
In the face.
I know. That's where I thought it was going.
All right. Let's get to the showbiz news, shall we?
Please.
I'm very excited about the Guess Mrs. Butterworth's First Name Contest.
What? Oh.
Really? We got to talk to somebody about the Guess Mrs. Butterworth's First Name Contest.
Really?
Yes.
How did I not know about this? I love this.
If you can guess the first name of America's sweetest syrup bottle, Mrs. Butterworth, you will win $500 in cash and a year's supply of maple syrup.
Woohoo!
Really?
Yes.
And how
does she have a name, or are they just making one up now for this promotion?
They're making one up now for this promotion.
Okay. I didn't know, man.
Mrs.
Butterworth. It's been a closely held secret for 30 years.
Pop culture icon. Nirvana song, Kanye West song, New York Times crossword puzzle answer, Friends, Samantha Who, the Geico commercial. She's been in all of them.
Hmm. All right.
July 17th is the deadline. If you'd like to guess, go to MrsButterworthSyrup.com/name contest. Best of luck.
Do they let us know, like, the first person that gets it, or is it everyone that gets it by
June 17th? 17th they will announce. They will announce what her name is.
I wonder if what they're going to do is they're going to take a look at all the entries and then decide which name they like the best.
We might get someone on to talk about this. There's so many unanswered questions.
Yes, like how much syrup is a year's worth?
That's a good question because I have a lot of syrup.
What if I eat pancakes and waffles every day?
That's right.
I would need a lot of syrup.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Carl. I'm going to send that in. I think her name is Carl.
I'm going for Gertrude. Come on, Gertrude. Gertrude Butterworth. I wonder if we're eligible to enter.
Who knows?
Kiefer Sutherland should not drink.
Well, oh, no. Yeah. What happened?
He was at Monday night's big New York Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute Gala.
A lot of words there. Okay.
It's a big fashion event that happens in New York City every year.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
The creme de la creme of show business and high society gather each year for this event, Kevin.
Okay.
And Jack Bauer himself was there, and he was cocktailing. And he thought that someone wasn't treating Brooke Shields right. That guy was a woman's clothing designer named Jack McCullough. And Kiefer hauled off and headbutted the guy in the head, in the face.
Headbutted him?
Yeah.
Does it say what he did to the woman?
That is still trying to be discerned. Mm. Brooke Shields talked to cops and said, he didn't do anything to me. The guy said, I didn't do anything.
What?
But for some reason, people seem to believe that Kiefer Sutherland thought he was defending Brooke's honor in some way.
You're drunk.
When he grabbed the guy and butted him in the head.
He may be confused as to who he really is. He's starting to headbutt people at parties.
It's Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
Give him the breathalyzer!
I yelled. The victim told investigators Kiefer was drunk and obnoxious and wouldn't back down or be logical. He pulled this stupid wrestling move like a teenager when he headbutted me in the face.
Wow.
It's odd.
So it wasn't even over anything. He was just rolling drunk and looking for something to smack. It didn't matter what. I guess I got in the way.
Wow.
So the police may want to talk to Mr. Sutherland regarding this event.
He's done a lot for our country, though. I hope they take that into consideration.
I forgot to give away my tickets for Angels and Demons.
We can do that next hour.
We'll do it next hour.
Yeah.
All right. In an hour, I'll give away tickets. And also, David Ogden Stiers. Remember him from MASH?
No.
He played Charles Emerson Winchester.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was the guy who's...
The smart guy who
shared the tent with Hawkeye and BJ.
And he hated everybody. Hated them all.
Hated them all.
Yeah.
He's out of the closet.
Oh, really?
He's just revealed that he's gay.
Yeah! Now you got a shot at it, Mike?
Woo!
The 66-year-old actor said that he is out, gay, and very proud to be so.
So proud it took until he was 66 to come out? Okay.
Yeah.
How great is male ass?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the repercussions are going to be, but he couldn't get less work than he's been playing, so that's not going to hurt him.
That's true. He's going to miss out on any work. He's got a very lucrative voiceover career now. He has a lot of voices. He was in Beauty and the Beast and Pocahontas and Hunchback of Notre Dame, all those Disney movies.
Okay. He was in Pocahontas?
Nope. Very different.
I could always tell the way he looked at Hawkeye in the tent that something was up.
Could you?
Hawkeye was bending over the still to get some gin. Yeah. Looked like Emerson was pitching his own tent. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
MASH. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we got it. No. We understand.
Mass. Male ass. No?
No. Not really.
Put that in the file.
I got any of those hangover cures. I'm not going to make it to the end of the show.
You need coffee and salt.
What time were you there till last night, Ralph?
I guess 10-ish.
Wow, that's a long party.
Here's
the
thing.
We were in Costa Mesa for Cinco de Mayo. We did a live show that ended at 6, and then Ralph was there till 10.
Yeah, and then I said, you know, I need a burger, so I went to In-N-Out.
Good
which
call.
Was a good call.
Yeah. Sure.
And then I ate it quickly and then just promptly crashed into the bed and fell asleep. And I woke up at midnight with like a cinder block in my chest.
Oh.
It was like the worst heartburn I've ever had in my life. And then I couldn't sleep. So I was just tossing and turning in serious pain for 4 hours staring at the clock.
That is a good time.
So I am hungover and sleep deprived. So
yeah, that's bad combination.
May not be up to my usual excellence today.
Well, people know what to expect on the 6th of May every year. Yeah. I mean, let's face it.
You get what you deserve. It's like the 18th of March, you know?
Right.
You get what you deserve. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alan Dale from Lost. He plays Charles Widmore on that show. He is 62 years old today. Bob Seger turns 64.
Yeah.
What's going on in that Lost, by the way? What's going on over there?
Dude, don't look at me.
Daniel got set up by his mom to go back to the island because she knew she was going to shoot him. That's not cool. No pro flowers for her on Mother's Day. That's all I'm saying. Singer Bob Seger is 64 years old today. Tom Bergeron turns 54. Roma Downey from Touched by an Angel is 49. George Clooney celebrates his 48th birthday. By the way, the K-Rock Kevin and Bean picture of the day is a picture of George Clooney to celebrate his birthday. We've got that up on the website.
All right.
It's him. I guess he's about 12. He looks like the biggest dork on the planet. I was so much better looking than him at that same age. I was so much better looking.
Wow.
What happened?
What?
How did he go so high and I went so low, starting out at the same point?
I wonder at what age they went wildly divergent, those paths, you and George.
I have no idea.
I would love to see a picture for the next.
I kicked his ass at 12.
Yeah. Yeah. But now? Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, he was dorkalicious.
Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 38, and Adrian Palicki.
Oh,
man.
Oh, God.
Please, Bean, I'm hungover. Don't make that noise. Might not be able to hold down my
make him Ralph
breakfast. Hey, just hey. She's 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let's talk to crazy listener Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
How dare you?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Wow.
Good morning.
Kelly sounds like she's still in bed talking to us.
Kelly writes an email. She was lucky enough to attend karaoke with the Killers, and she asked Bean to sign her back.
Oh.
Yes.
And he did. He signed the back of her shoulder. And then she went and got it tattooed.
Yep. The very next day.
Have you contacted a laser removal place yet?
No, and I don't intend to.
You didn't sober up and go, bad idea.
Well, yeah, no, that was the thing. You know, I was absolutely inspired afterwards, and I'm like, I'm going to get this tattooed, absolutely, you know, tomorrow.
But you were inspired because the Killers put on such an amazing performance at such a tiny place.
Yeah, and you were probably drinking.
You know, there was definitely that involved, absolutely, you know, but, you know, it was just this, you know, the most, honestly, I was more starstruck by meeting Bean than I was by seeing the Killers. So.
Really?
That's not right.
You're having a laugh is what's going on here. You're absolutely.
No, honestly, you guys have been like a part of my morning like routine for like I don't even know how long. So
okay, that's great. And believe me, we couldn't be more flattered. We couldn't appreciate it more. We couldn't thank you more. We're very, very excited. But the line has to be, hey, I love these guys' show and it's nice to meet you. It can't then continue on to I'm going to get my body permanently scarred. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it does. It does. You know, I mean, for me, at least, you know, I know it sounds crazy to almost everybody else. I mean, everybody I talk to thinks I'm crazy, of course. But, you know, you're one of my heroes.
So Bean writes his name. He writes Bean, and then he writes K-Rock, and then he draws his signature unexplainable happy face. Not really. It should be anything but a happy face that Bean should draw.
It is weird, you're right.
It should be a frowning face with tears. But somehow he always draws a happy face. And you got all of that tattooed on your shoulder.
I did. And it was funny, too, because, you know, I woke up the next morning and I was like, you know what? I'm still going to do this. So I didn't take a shower that day. And if you remember, it was so hot.
Oh, it was way hot. Yeah.
Days, like, it was the worst day of, like, not taking a shower. But, you know, I got to the tattoo place, and, like, I'm like, can you make something out of this? I don't know. It's starting to kind of smear a little bit. So, you know, I think the tattoo guy, I think, did a great job. I think he captured it pretty good.
Well, I mean, when you sent me the photo, I thought, she's just fooling. I mean, it's clearly, it's just a picture of my Sharpie signature. There's no way she got it tattooed because the guy made it look exactly the same as what I wrote. And I apologize that I signed it as big as I did, because I certainly wouldn't have if I'd have known you and go out and do something stupid.
Well, it was funny. Like when I was there, I actually met the K-Rocker stalker Cindy, and she was so awesome. She's the one who brought me up to meet you, and she's like, I told her later, and she's like, Kelly, you should have waited. We could have gotten a better signature.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You mean from like, someone you know, better?
Kelly, do you have a man in your life at all?
What do you think? At the moment, no.
Okay. What do you think?
I was just wondering if she did what he would think, because there are certain positions where he'd have to look at that. I was thinking what a doubter that would be for him.
Well, we'll have to find out. He'll have to accept it, or else, you know, he's just not good enough.
I imagine that most people that have tattoos, the first question people ask after, can I see it, is, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. Most
exactly.
People, you know, you write a Chinese peace symbol or something, and everybody has their little code. But you're going to have to go, it's a guy, and he's on a radio show. Have you ever heard of K-Rock? No. Okay.
I've already had fun with that. I've already had, like, a family barbecue, and I got to tell the whole story over
yes.
and over to everybody.
Oh,
so, yeah,
this is so sad.
It's wonderful.
Did your parents weep? Parents and or other relatives, did they cry?
No, they did not. Parents are way too cool for that. Mm. They were very proud.
Oblivious and don't care about you. That's clearly the other truth. You can see a picture of this tattoo on the Kevin and Bean front page of KRock.com. And I'm sad and I'm sorry. And Kelly, I know you are going to regret it. I don't want you to hold that against us. Don't hate us when you wake up whether it's a week or a month or a year. At some point, you're going to have this removed. And I don't want you to blame us, okay? Because
we
didn't think it was a good idea now. We don't think it's a good idea then. But, but of course, we appreciate you listening, and it was great to meet you, okay?
It was great to meet you, too. Thank you so much, you guys.
Oh, we have a restraining order, just for the record.
We're happy to welcome back to the show. It's been a long time since we've caught up with our favorite U.S. Marine. Ladies and gentlemen, Davey Lynn joins us here.
Yeah!
Woo! Dave has been in a couple of times, and there are just a few guys in our Rolodex that we love to stay in touch with because they are living such extraordinary lives that we need to figure out why we're so lame and
pretty
why
much.
They're so awesome. Dave, you're still with the Corps or no?
Still with the Corps. I'm going to retire this summer.
Okay.
He's a Marine Master Sergeant. You were in after you went to Afghanistan the first time?
Yes.
Okay.
I went to Afghanistan right after 9/11.
Uh-huh.
November of 2001, I went in. And I was in, that was the first time I came in and met you guys, and we kind of sat down and talked and been in contact since then.
And then the book Generation Kill came out, and that was your unit, right? What year was that?
Ooh, pop quiz. I cannot remember. I want to say 2004.
Yeah, I was going to say 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's the one that they made the HBO miniseries on.
Right, correct.
Generation Kill, right, which was very gritty, very gritty.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure you watched it. How realistic was that compared to what it was really like for you guys?
Well, you know, I'm going to do what I can not to offend anybody, but what I will tell you is that is that was an accurate depiction of a disgruntled employee that might not have a full picture of what's going on, is the best way to say it. I'm not saying it's inaccurate. I'm just saying that the portrayal of senior leadership and decisions that were made in a conflict, in a hazardous situation, you know, guys in the bottom, they don't necessarily know. And I'm not saying they don't have a perspective. I'm just saying that was an accurate portrayal. Yeah, absolutely.
But it does have, I mean, you can see that everyone has an opinion regardless of how good a soldier they are or how much they know or how much common sense they have or anything. Everyone has an opinion. You can't.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
and there is no. I mean, the challenge for something as complicated as the subject of war is there's no such thing as one true version. There are thousands of different pieces of the truth that combine to form the full picture, and that's impossible to show in a television program.
Right. And you know, I've been in 20 years, and what I knew or thought I knew at you know 19 has certainly evolved, and what my goals were at a young age have certainly evolved to what they are right now. And it's interesting to look back in a career and realize, you know, what my priorities are now, what my perspective is now, and how much it's changed from when I was a young man. So when you combine those two perspectives, you know, unfortunately only one was put in the book. So,
yeah, you get a fuller picture when you put those together.
Master Sergeant Lynn is here with us, and there have been a lot of developments in your life since the last time we spoke, and you unfortunately have been one of our Marine heroes who really bore the brunt of war. And had an incident that you have recovered from but will never forget. Tell us what happened to you.
June 14, 2007, my vehicle was attacked by a pressure plate IED, improvised explosive device. My vehicle hit it and set it off, and it basically went off right underneath me. And that from that blast, I've lost both my legs. My left leg is about 10 inches below the knee, and my right leg is through the knee. So I'm in here today walking with the aid of some pretty high-speed prosthetics.
I read in the article that we got from Alex that you told your kid that it's you have robot legs.
Oh yeah, I mean you have to take this with a sense of you laugh to keep from crying, I
sure.
guess is one way of saying it, but yeah, from the onset I told him right away, you know, this is what we are. And you know, there's I don't know how melodramatic we want to make this segment, but you focus on the positive, and I mean, I could be a lot worse off. I know people, and there's unfortunately families out there that would give a whole bunch to have their service member in my condition. And
well, we're going to take calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067 for Ask a Marine. I did also read that after the IED went off, you thought, I am going to just take my own life. This is not going to work for me. And I can't imagine.
Well, because of the pain, right?
I can't imagine not feeling that way. You knew what your life was going to be like, right? I mean,
well,
that's tough.
Well, you don't know, but
you're afraid.
You're picturing the worst, that's
right.
For sure.
And the thing that's so funny about, you know, there's a saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And everybody that signs up, they kind of accept that. And for me, I always thought I would either live or die. And I'd been in and I'd been deployed so much and I'd seen so much that I really thought that if I ever came into a situation where I was seriously wounded, that it was going to be, you know, I'd expire on the battlefield.
So it was all or nothing,
right?
Basically,
that's where I was at with it. So, literally, the moral drive that you have to go forward and say, you know, I'm going to go with this, and this is going to be good enough. That was initially the hardest part of the challenge. But
I'll bet.
You know, I'm lucky. I got great kids, great wife, and the ability to think of them and focus on what I wanted to do and the role that I wanted to show them.
And that's what you thought about. Right after getting injured is I can't off myself. I have a wife. I have kids that count on me, and I'm
that was my initial thought. So
let me ask you this, David. First of all, I have to know because I'm just burning up inside with this. Can you jump really high? Like, are they springs? I mean, is it cool? Like, you can
they're not really robot legs.
No, I mean, I have like my vertical. You could probably get a credit card underneath it. I mean,
me
it's
too.
It's not very good at all. No, okay. I have no tiptoes. I have no jumping. I have nothing like that. But I have a hell
but
of
you
a
can
golf
walk.
Game.
I hell of a golf game.
And I have a hell of a golf game.
All right.
So.
All right, here's the, of course, this is as much a mental injury as a physical injury, I'm sure, especially for a lot of guys, and that's what trips them up. I mean, there are guys who have had injuries like yours or even not as severe as yours who are worthless for the rest of their lives because they'll never get past the self-pity, they'll never get past the doubt, they'll never get past the why me. That's got to be the hardest thing, I would imagine, in recovery to deal with and to work through, right?
Well, you know, that's the onset of the things that you start dealing with, but let me tell you one thing that's really unique. That if this had to happen to me, and I know we have to go to a break, but if you give me just
okay.
just a minute.
No, take your time. Take your time.
One of the things that happened to me that's really unique is I had a full career. I was fortunate enough to live and have accomplished 98% of what I set out to do in the military. I lived the recruiting commercial and the poster. I did that
and loved it.
And absolutely loved it. And on top of that, I've established myself in the civilian side of my life. You know, I got a beautiful wife, we own stuff, we have kids, so that part of it is so much easier for me because that perspective, I was able to look back and say, you know what, this could be a lot worse off. The guys that I really feel for, I mean, I don't know that I could be this positive. I don't know that I could be the same person if I was 19. I mean,
at the beginning of your career, right?
I couldn't imagine those doubts trying to date in this situation,
right.
Trying to find a spouse or you know, whatever, those things that
sure.
we all want to do. Those are the guys that are really challenged, and those are the guys that I try to, you know, talk to. But, you know, ultimately, you know, we may have the same injuries, but we're in a different lane,
that,
if you will.
That so makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
It's difficult.
Do you replay that day in your mind a lot, or does that not happen much?
No, it happens a lot. Only because, for me, only because I loved my you know, the Marine Corps life. I loved what I did. I loved the people that I was around, and I loved the people that I was able to kind of influence and mentor. So to be away from that at a time where I still feel like I have relevant knowledge and things that I can impact on people, that part is honestly the hardest part.
I was going to say, is that the best part of being in the Marines is the friendships and the relationships that you form?
Without a doubt. I realized over the last 23 months, the reason I've been in Marines so long is not only because of the job I got to do, but the people I got to work around. And when you have anybody that's working in harmony for a united objective or goal, whatever that is. I'm not talking simply on the battlefield. I'm right. talking in day-to-day life. When you have that and you're around people, work's easy. I mean, it's absolutely enjoyable and it's easy. So,
Master Sergeant, why are you retiring?
Well, because I am not able to do I'm not working around the same people. I'm not. My job was very physical.
And you don't want an office job.
I have to have one, but if I have to have one of those, I might as well step away from the Marine Corps and do it. And that's
gotcha.
And the longer I stay in, the harder it's going to be to step away. So I'm finishing up my degree and looking out in the civilian community.
Good for you. All right. Marine Master Sergeant Davey Lind is in the studio, a longtime friend and guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I don't know that we've ever done this specific call-in, have we, mm-hmm. Kevin, where you get a chance to ask a Marine? And obviously, with the breadth of experience that Dave has, he can answer questions on pretty much anything having to do with the Corps. And we're going to take your calls in the next segment at 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back with Ask a Marine after this. I don't know about you, the K-Rock listener, but for those of us who make a living making dick jokes, we're feeling pretty low right now.
Because
Marine Master Sergeant Davey Lind is back at our studio here at the world-famous K-Rock. It's been a number of years since we caught up with Davey. He is sharing his experience of getting out of the Corps this summer after being injured and spending the last couple of years in rehab and losing both legs and being on prosthetics, but still having a better attitude and being a better man than all of us combined. But we're going to take your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Call now if you'd like to ask a Marine.
I know people that protect this country. This sweet land of liberty.
We're probably only going to have time for about a quarter of this, but
we're talking about the Marines. We have a lot of questions to ask. Yes, we have many, many of these. We're going to ask a Marine.
Okay.
Ask a Marine.
That's fine.
All right,
1-800-520-1067.
Well, we're out of time. Thanks for coming in, Dave.
Appreciate it.
New rule is that Omar doesn't get to do any of his little song intros after Cinco de Mayo anymore, okay?
That's, good
that's the way it's going to work. All right, we got some great questions on the phone, and you can ask Davey anything. Let's start with Diane. She's on line one with a great one to get us started. Hey, Diane, you're on with Davey Lind. Ask a Marine.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, thank you so much for your service. We all appreciate that. I am a mother of an 18-year-old son who just joined the Marines about a month ago. And as a parent, I have just been going up and down crazy because, you know, of course, with the whole war thing going on, you know, and seeing my 18-year-old son go into a situation and a decision he made on his own, you know, with all the situation being that it is.
Well, what I would say, first of all, is you have to have confidence in the way that you brought him up. That's one thing. And the second thing is you have to understand that he's surrounded by or he's going to be led by some, even when he will complain about it, the vast majority of the people that are going to influence him, that are going to lead him and make decisions concerning him, are going to be competent, and they're going to be actually caring about his best well-being and making sure that he's well taken care of. So him and his training and then the individuals that are around him are the two biggest things that are going to ensure that he's going to do well.
Okay, well, thank you, because, you know, I've been going crazy these past couple weeks. You know, he kind of did it without me knowing, and he kind of hid the whole process of it because he knew it was, you know, not really happy about it at this time.
Well, it sounds like, David, what you're saying is he's not alone now. Now he's got a lot of support, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely,
okay.
He does.
Thank you, Diane.
Great call, Diane. Thank you so much. Let's try Jason on line five to ask a Marine on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jason, you're on with Davey. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good.
First off, I wanted to, you know, I can't thank you enough for your service to me and my family and our country. You know, the question I have for you is, now that you're back, you know, how does the media coverage, you know, affect your feeling of what you guys, you know, had to accomplish over there? And does that change your point of view, or does that change any of the, or affect any of the guys that are currently active in the field?
I will tell you, you know, media comes up a lot, and I will tell you that we're not really influenced or affected by the media as much as you might think, because quite honestly, the media's opinion does not change our objective or what we're required to do. So kind of going along with the old keep happy thoughts, we're still going to do the job, and sitting there getting bogged down in what one reporter says or doesn't say about our job doesn't really affect us.
Is that something you have to learn?
That's something you definitely now this has changed. You have to remember, I've been in long enough that I've seen the evolution of, you know, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. We were 100% popular and everybody loved us.
Right.
To Afghanistan, to what started in Iraq. Remember, we were really popular at the beginning, to now we've kind of degraded and continued to downgrade. I don't think the media affects us because there's a couple reasons. Everybody that's putting on a uniform and is going overseas believes 100% in what they're doing in that mission over there. And two, anybody that's been over there more than one time, or sometimes even if they've only been there one time but for an extended amount of time, you see how much better that situation is improving. Mm-hmm. So because the media wants to focus on a negative aspect of it, that's fine. You can do that. It would be a lot more beneficial to everybody involved if you could focus on this, and this that's positive.
A balanced picture.
But if you don't want to do that, that's fine. We actually know the job that we're doing there, and we know the way that we're affecting people there.
Davey, you also have been in long enough that you have seen how much more media you have access to in the field. I mean, 20 years ago, you couldn't watch the stuff that you can watch now with the internet and everything like that and really stay in touch with what's happening back home.
Yeah, it's really changed, and it's I've been so spoiled. I started off with regular snail mail on ships and things like that to now we're email and on demand, and sometimes it's a little bit too good. You stay a little bit too in touch with what's going on. So big thing is just stay focused on what you're dealing with right there. So
Mackenzie is on line 6 with another question for the Master Sergeant. Mackenzie, ask a Marine. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering – first I want to thank you and all the other servicemen and women around the world for doing what you guys are doing. It's awesome. But I was wondering what makes the Marines different from the other service branches, or what's better about the Marines than the other service branches?
Everybody else are pussies.
I'll speak on his behalf.
You know, that's I appreciate Kevin's insight to it. There is certainly that aspect, but you know, it's different in the different goal. I love being a Marine. I'm glad, looking back on it, that's a service I chose. It's not necessarily for everybody. For the Marine Corps, we have a lot of special things. But what I will tell you that's really different about us, in the first set is budget. We have a smaller budget than most of the other services. And because of that, at a young age in the Marine Corps, you learn to rely on each other. And it's not like we're out there, you know, making our own weapons or anything like that. It's just that we don't get pampered. And there's a lot of big boy rules apply or big girl rules apply. You learn at an early age to be really responsible for your own actions. And then our leadership is set on a lower tier than all the other services. You know, a sergeant in the Marine Corps is making a corporal and a sergeant in the Marine Corps is making battlefield decisions that affect life and death. Whereas in the Army and other services, they're going to be one step higher than that. You know, a sergeant in the Marine Corps is an E5. Everybody else in the other services, E6, is going to have more of an influence at that same level. So comparatively, we set our guys up for success younger. And I'm saying guys and gals, we set them up younger for more success later on.
So you're saying that the other groups are pussies.
I think that came out, right?
If I could recap.
Do you and the Navy guys and the Army guys, when you have the chance, just kick the crap out of the Coast Guard guys? I mean, you can get away with it? Because I would think you would.
You know what, man? That's funny that you asked that, because there's some tough as hell Coast Guard guys that are up there, like, doing the search and rescue off the Washington coast that they're dealing with stuff day in and day out that I want nothing to do with. So all situation dependent, but yeah, they do have those white uniforms.
let's try. There's no name on line 2, but it's a good question. Let's go to line 2, please. Again, if you're just joining us, Marine Master Sergeant Davey Lynn is in the studio. We are asking a Marine.
Ask a Marine.
Nope, no time for Omar. Sorry.
All right.
Yes, caller, you're on the air with Davey. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Master Sergeant?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Hey, my name is Mike. I'm actually a petty officer in the Navy. I'm just wondering what inspires you to keep going, like keep reenlisting? Because I came in thinking I was going to do 20 years, but you know, putting up a lot of BS and stuff every day. You know, I'm just wondering, you know, what made you decide to keep going?
Yeah, a lot of people get out after that first tour. They go, man, it's not what I thought, or I just can't do it again. How do you keep going back and loving it so much, Davey?
Well, for me, it goes back to what I said about being a Marine, looking back. I realized the Marines are the smallest of the services, other than, I think we might even be smaller than Coast Guard, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But I mean, we're such a small organization, and the responsibility that's put on us, but you have really identifiable and attainable goals at a young age. And you know what? The thing that's so funny about young men and women is, and they don't get enough credit for, is they're 100% competitive all the time. So when you put a bunch of people in a situation like that, and you see the opportunity to improve and to go on and then be rewarded for that, both with a paycheck and with rank and responsibility and things like that, I think it's a perfect situation for young Americans, because they get out there, maybe they don't know who they are, but for me, I know the Marine Corps, or military service at a minimum in the Marine Corps, it was the absolute right thing for me to do, coming from Northwestern Pennsylvania, little place we call Steeler Country. you come from up there, not really sure. You know, if I'd gone to college right away, I would have bombed out. There's not a doubt in my mind, because I didn't have any sense of who I was or what I wanted to do. And I don't mean that the Marine Corps or military service is right for everybody involved with it, but for me, it was certainly the right answer. And for a lot of people, it is. And because it can be so rewarding, and you see, you know, you put into it what, you know, you get out what you put into it. So
you have to go on Survivor, by the way. It just occurred to me right now, with that competitive nature and the things you know how to do from your years in the field, you would kick ass on Survivor.
I have to charge my one leg every night, so I don't know if that works. I have no electricity.
All right,
out
before we're out of time for calls, but before we go, you had the group, was it the group that kind of helped you with your rehabilitation that you wanted to give a shout out to, Davey?
Yeah, absolutely. Now we gotta, Mike, you gotta make sure he's not gonna push that button over there.
I can't control it.
Dude, I don't have a choice.
Well,
just launch into it. I'll do it. We can move on.
All right. One of the best reasons why I'm here today is to talk about a group that helps. And it's a grant organization. You can donate to this organization, and it's called www.
You're a terrible American.
He came in and he said, I would plug something, but you're going to play Thriller over me. I was like, look, right, dude. Okay, now I got that out of my system.
All right.
Tell us.
Kevin is the Taliban, okay, is what we learned here.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Tell us the charity.
Okay, it's Semper Fi Fund.
I'm just kidding. All right, go ahead.
SemperFiFund.org. And,
SemperFiFund.org.
Yep, and you can go to that website, and they help a lot. And with those younger guys that I was talking about, they get them out there, and they help with adaptive equipment that they may need in their house, or
this
or things.
Is all for injured
Marines. And Marines and any service member that was in support of a Marine unit when they were injured. And it doesn't have, they don't have to be an amputee. They can be all the wide range of superficial to PTSD to whatever they may be dealing with. They will help out. So
okay, give the address one more time, because I know a lot of our listeners are going to want to go, and they're going to want to contribute.
It's
Damn it.
This joke just keeps on giving.
It. I'm sorry.
It's www.semperfifund.org.
Marine Master Sergeant Davey Lynn, let's not make it so long before the next time you come in, man. Thanks, as we echo the callers. Thank you for your service, and thanks for continuing to stay in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. We always enjoy talking to you, dude.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Got time now for Guy with Legs? Got time for that?
No.
You got all time in the world for a guy who's got bionic legs. How about us with human legs? Got time for me now?
Much less.
Got a minute now to do showbiz.
That guy makes us hate ourselves more than anyone on this planet.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
That's a good dude.
He makes
right
me
there.
Hate you, too.
Well, yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah. I think Alex was going to do him a favor on the way out.
He's
very happily married.
He knew he was appreciated, yeah.
Happily married guy.
Yes.
Leave it be.
Mike tried. He's not having it.
Congratulations to Fox's The Cleveland Show.
Can't wait.
You may not be watching the show because it hasn't aired yet, but Fox has just given it a second season order.
Huh.
What?
They've ordered a second season of The Cleveland Show before the first season has even aired.
That's
so
confidence.
Congratulations to all my pals over there in the Family Guy family who are responsible for The Cleveland Show.
You ever tried a Cleveland steamer? It's awesome.
No, it's not the same thing at all. It's Cleveland based, of course, on the popular character Cleveland Brown from The Family Guy. He's getting his own spinoff show. And Fox has ordered an additional 13 episodes, in addition to the first 22 episode orders.
How about that?
Ralph was telling me he's seen the first episode already, and it's hilarious.
Very, very funny. You will love it. I promise.
Can't wait.
Fallout Boy has hired a witch doctor.
What?
To get the curse off of their current tour.
What?
Fallout Boy has hired a witch doctor to get the curse off of its current tour.
What?
Give it up!
Apparently a few crew members have been injured, technical things are going haywire, and some of the guys in the band came down with severe food poisoning. So they brought in a shaman to work his magic and get rid of all the bad mojo on the tour.
Okay.
Burnt some sage and did some incantations and made it rain.
Made it rain?
Yeah, I don't know. Something didn't work out well, but yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
It's not okay with me.
Really heard of witch doctors in quite some time.
It'd be great if you came out of the guy with a bone through his nose, yeah, wearing his beard and a shield, a cauldron with like a guy in a pith helmet boiling it behind him. Good old days. Lady Lawyer! Just got back from Maui, and apparently is not doing so well.
Uh-oh.
In fact, Us Weekly says bystanders who saw her on the beach were shocked how drastically thin she is, her hip bones protruding out from under her bathing suit.
Yeah, she could eat.
Yeah.
Friends say, if you believe the friends.
It's always
friends.
People
are always quoting the story as friends of.
Always friends.
She's been using Adderall.
Oh, really?
Which is a prescription medication used to treat ADD and ADHD.
I need that.
And it makes you lose weight, but it also makes you extremely jittery and wired and nutty.
A lot of the models use that, right, Ralph?
Exactly. So that could be why she's lost so much weight, the drastic weight loss. And speaking of weight loss, have you seen the new Jessica Simpson pictures in Vanity Fair?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
She looks great.
Does she?
Yeah, she
sure
really does.
Will it help her remember her lyrics?
I don't know, but she may not have to worry about it. In the article accompanying those photos, apparently there are words.
Really?
Attached to the layout. I didn't
never see
those,
that.
But I saw the pictures. With her clothing line, her shoes, her hair extensions, her edible cosmetic line, and other investments, she made $400 million last year.
That's not possible.
No, I reject you totally.
No way is that possible. No way.
We're shooting the messenger on this one, Ralph. I'm sorry.
$400 million?
Dude, it's in the Vanity Fair. It's in the Vanity Fair article.
No.
Nope.
Look, I don't want it to be true either.
Nope.com.
But that's the facts, Jack.
No, it isn't.
Jessica's planning on launching more products this year, including lingerie, sleepwear, and furniture.
No!
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 It's true, Nopey. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Bob Seger, 64. Alan Dale from Lost and the OC, he is 62. Is he really British or what? Because he wasn't British on the OC, right?
Yeah, I can't tell. He's something different in every... He's on Ugly Betty, too. He's on every show. It's crazy.
It's too many shows.
Yeah.
Too many shows, Alan Dale. He is 62 years old. Tom Bergeron is 54 years old. Roma Downey, Touched by an Angel star, is 49 years old. George Clooney is 48. If you want to see a great picture of Clooney, take a look at the Kevin and Bean picture of the day on the Kevin and Bean website.
Yeah.
KROQ.com. It's hilarious. What a goof he used to be.
It's basically just us going, look, he used to be ugly. Make ourselves feel better.
You know what it is? I've realized it's some sort of Hollywood magic.
He looks like that now? You mean like the
reason he looks the way he looks, he does now is because somebody, some handler came along and did stuff to him.
Yeah.
Chelsea Handler came along and did stuff to him. Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters is 38 and Adrian Palicki from Friday Night Lights is 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. This is a... I'm ridiculously geeking out with how much I can't wait to see the Star Trek movie this weekend. I mean, this is the one of the year that I'm dying to see the most, and we couldn't be more excited to welcome Mr. Sulu on the bridge. Ladies and gentlemen, actor John Cho.
Hey.
Here at the world famous K-Rock. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
You know him as either Harold and or Kumar. I've never been able to tell.
Harold. Harold. And, of course, the American Pie movies and so much television and so much. And I loved your hype man, too, by the way, Nick and Nora. That was a hilarious role.
Thanks.
You just jumped up on stage and screamed at us all night. So, John, so many questions. And I'm sorry that we're getting you so close to the movie opening because I know you've been asked all of these things before. But we have to know because there are iconic roles in Hollywood history and you get to play one of them. It just must kind of blow your mind when you wake up one day and go, all right, I'm now Mr. Sulu.
Yeah, it was bizarre to see the movie for the first time, and
I was so hyped up, I forgot to hate my performance.
Wow.
Yeah, it was...
That's something.
It was really good. I just kept thinking, I cannot believe I am in this friggin' movie. Yeah. And so it's very exciting. Also, I grew up just as an Asian American kid thinking George Takei was the coolest thing. When in an era on television when there wasn't much going on for us, he was, you know... He wasn't throwing karate chops. He didn't have an accent. He was the
not stereotypes.
Of a, yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Helmsman of a spaceship. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, I bet. Now, did you have to audition for this role, or were there only three Korean American actors? And
it was an easy choice.
It was a cage fight.
Last man standing.
Yeah, that's not Daniel Day Lewis. Daniel Day came on Lost anymore.
Really?
That's a hand puppet. That's a hand puppet.
Wow.
Yeah. No. yeah, I auditioned. I heard about the movie, and I heard there was they were doing a Star Trek, and I heard J.J. Abrams, and I said.
That's enough. That's
yeah.
enough for you.
Yeah.
Now, but you weren't scared to go, wow, I'd rather play 100 people that no one knows than have the pressure of trying
Someone
to fill the shoes.
Someone that we know so well.
Yeah, that was a kind of heavy for me. And when I got the role, I asked if George and I could sit down. I asked him if we could have lunch. And I told him I was kind of nervous. But he was really, really cool about it. He said... John, you should relax because in a few years they're going to call me the old guy that played John Cho.
And, you know, well, that was nice of him.
It was, and it just let you know got the monkey off my back and allowed me to just you know be free on set.
Did he hit on you at all?
By hitting, do you mean touching? No.
We can describe.
He's
in
married. He's a married man.
Oh, that's right. He's a married and happy man.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, when you're stepping into a role that is so well known, you have the expectations. You can go one of two directions. And my understanding is that JJ, in making this movie, decided to go into. We're not going to try to replicate what the original characters did that we know so well from TV movies. We're going to kind of just play it as a tribute to those. Those characters, but kind of forge ahead and do it our way.
Yeah, actually, JJ and I never had a specific conversation about that.
What?
No.
He talked to other people, not to him.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
I was on the outs.
How's that not the first thing?
What'd he say?
How's that not the first thing you talk about is whether we're going to make it like the old one or not?
I think, actually, you know, I came in with my audition, and typically... if an actor's going the way you want them to go in the audition, it's a little hands off.
So you don't say anything,
and you just and I think he corrects as we go along. But
is it possible he was just drunk and not paying attention? Is that possible?
Always. but yeah, I mean, it's actually really hard not to do the imitation.
Right. I would think so. I would think you fall into it accidentally. Just because
the
words you're saying or whatever.
Partially the words and the characters are so well known. Everyone can do. A Kirk, a Sulu imitation.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It was a bit of a trick to stay away from it. It's a bit of a tractor beam.
See, this is what's so interesting, and I was thinking about just this the other day, leading up to Star Trek. Remember when we heard the casting for the last Batman movie, and we thought, wow, I wouldn't want to be Heath Ledger to try to go after Jack Nicholson, because that's the definitive Joker. How do you improve upon that? And he just came up with something that was so completely different that made you just forget that the Nicholson one had ever happened. And I guess that's kind of what, you know, you hope for a movie like this is you go, that's a great Captain Kirk. That's a great Mr. Spock. Doesn't matter whether I ever saw the original or not. These guys are fantastic characters in this movie.
Well, what's interesting about working with JJ is the atmosphere isn't one in which you're sweating stuff like that. I'm sure it's by design. He's a very smart guy. We came in, the atmosphere on set and during rehearsals was really light and fun. And I think that's the way it had to be. We couldn't sit around thinking how are we dealing with the long shadow that this series casts?
Right.
I mean, I think it would have ruined the movie and ruined the performances. So, it just didn't feel like that. It never felt like that.
You know what's amazing is Ralph went to see the screening of it, who's a huge fan of it, and he said that you don't have to throw out what you know about any of the characters either. You don't have to forget about them. You don't have to – like, for example, the Joker that Bean mentions, you kind of forget Nicholson because it's a whole new creation, but you guys somehow kind of pay honor to without –
Thank you. That's
discarding. Exactly. That's what he said. He was really impressed.
Well, that's exactly, I think, what we were trying to do, and I think – from my observation, while I was there, it seemed like every department was trying to kind of ride the twin objectives of doing something new and honoring the original series. It's a bit of a trick.
Yeah.
You know, but you saw it in everything, in the costumes and in the performances and in the set design and everything. It was a trip every day walking in, seeing something that was familiar but new. It was bizarre. You go on the bridge of the Enterprise, you're like, I know this. I know this place.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a new place. I do not know this place. You know? I mean, it was...
That seems confusing.
Yeah. That's why I was drunk.
Yeah, well...
Before we go to break, and then we'll come back with much more with John Cho about Star Trek, which opens up everywhere this Friday. Did your Mr. Sulu get to transport down to any planets?
Yes, he got out of the chair.
That must have been so cool.
Yeah, it was cool. If I had one tiny complaint about the original series, I wanted the Asian guy to get in the mix a little bit more, and he does in this movie.
I just if you don't mind, I'd just like to take a quick break and say, Bean, you know that they don't actually teleport.
I do know that, but I also know how cool it must be, even as an actor, to stand onto the transporter and realize that what it's going to look like when you're not. All right, did you get to use a phaser?
You know what? No. Yeah, our phasers got knocked away in the battle.
Okay.
So you
had to
need
use
it.
Other means. No, right. No, man.
Karate?
Boom.
Oh, the hands.
Boom.
Yes.
Well, Sulu is an accomplished sword fighter, right?
Yes, yeah, so he has a sword battle on this drill platform, and it's pretty epic. I'd never gotten to do there was shockingly little few battle scenes in the Harold and Kumar movies.
Yeah, that's true.
I hadn't had any practice doing anything like that, so it was awesome.
And we need to take a break. We'll come back and finish talking about that, about your swordsmanship. And also, we got to ask you when Leonard Nimoy came on the set, if everyone was a little extra nervous because he knows what everything was like then. It's Star Trek. It comes out this Friday. John Cho is our guest. We'll continue in a minute.
You can ask John Cho about his swordsmanship again. Is that what you're going to
say? Swordsmanship?
Yeah.
You had a sword fight. You've trained with swords, is what I
We've
meant.
We've all had sword fights. What
right?
are you talking about?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Actor John Cho is here. The new movie is called Star Trek.
Yes.
I think I've heard of it before. I'm not quite sure. It opens up everywhere on Friday. The reviews have got to be satisfying because you don't know until the critics start to see it, till the first screenings happen, what people are going to think of what you work so hard on. And they're just going over the moon. I mean, they're talking about it's the best sequel ever and, you know, one of the best Star Trek movie ever. I mean, they're just going crazy for this, which you have to be so excited about.
I am. I hear the reviews are good. I haven't been logging on a lot, but you know, I saw the movie, like I said, and it was really exciting. And yet, you're like, is this my imagination? Have I smoked something?
Am I too close to it? Yeah.
Yeah. And, the first audience we showed it to was in Sydney, and, it was at the Sydney Opera House where we had the premiere and we got a standing ovation, and it was very,
wow.
And I hear that that's a big deal for Australians. They're reserved apparently. And, so I was really happy about that. I was just really relieved that it wasn't in my head.
Yeah, I would guess that you would learn to kind of ignore critics, but if it's overwhelmingly positive, you would think maybe you go, if it's great, let me know. I'll check it out.
That's a bit of a trick with the, you know, with following reviews. If you believe the good stuff, you have to believe the bad stuff.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you talked about how cool it was to see the movie for the first time. Is part of that you now see the stars out the window and you see all the special effects that weren't obviously there when you were green screening it, and that just changes everything?
Well, partially, but there's surprisingly little green screen in the movie. For us, I mean, on the Enterprise and during the fight stuff, JJ he's pretty friggin' clever. I think he wanted as little green screen as possible because no matter how good it is, I feel like your eye can tell that it is false. You know, in some movies, you're like, that's really good green screen. But you shouldn't be saying that.
You shouldn't be saying that at all. Right?
And so we had sets to work with that you know, we could touch and feel and trip on. And I feel like you see that in the movie and you see that in the performances because we believe it, you know, especially for an untalented guy like myself.
That's got to also be a lot more fun to be on the bridge of the Enterprise rather than in front of a green screen.
We scrambled on that set the first day, and everything is pretty functional. All the knobs turn and the levers go up and down, and we got a little out of control, actually. Chris, we were all jockeying for the captain's chair all the time, and Chris broke it once.
He did?
Oh, really?
He just snapped it.
That's the guy that plays Kirk, right?
Yeah.
Snap the chair.
He's allowed
snap
to, if chair. Anyone is.
I guess.
Wow. So how many chicks is that dude going to get? I mean, does he just have is there a place you can go and just sign up at his front door and he has 20-minute shifts or what? How is he working it now being Captain Kirk?
That is eerie that you know that. 20-minute shifts, sign up. Yeah, he's got a bouncer at his bedroom.
He must.
I don't know what it's like for him, but it must be insane. He's easy on the eyes, and he smells wonderful. So.
Well, all right.
There you go.
So you got him. You got Zachary Quinto mm-hmm. as Spock,
who's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's
you have fantastic. Simon Pegg as Scotty. Who else do you have that's in the Eric Bana is
Eric, some guy named Eric Bana.
Sure,
As the villain Nero. We've got Anton Yelchin, who's in the new Terminator movie as well, and he plays Chekhov. Who else am I forgetting? Zoe Saldana.
How about that?
A serious hottie who plays Uhura. And am I forgetting someone?
Just Leonard Nimoy. Yeah.
Tell
us about that. What was that like? I would think
it's
you would.
It's pretty heavy.
It seems like it would be easy to put that out of your head, I guess, if you describe everything you did. JJ doesn't worry about it too much. We're going to move on. And then all of a sudden you see him and it's freaking Spock.
I remember the day that he came on set, it was a big, big extras day and a lot of background and. He came on set, and everyone spontaneously stood up and gave him a round of applause.
Really?
No kidding.
And it's heavy to work with a guy who has that kind of weight. You know what
I
mean?
Right. And did you feel the desire to go, am I doing this right? Or
I mean, he was so cool. He was like, hey, nice to meet you. And after the screening, he was like, he was sitting right in front of me, and he turned around and goes, nice job, young man. and I was like, you too, I guess. I walked into the sound booth. I was doing some ADR. Just by chance, he was recording Space, The Final Frontier.
Mm.
And
did you feel like a child at that moment?
I certainly did. And it sent chills up and down my spine. And then I saw him turn to JJ and go, notes. And for the very first time, I saw JJ completely speechless.
Right.
Yep, good.
It was good.
Try again.
Notes.
Please.
That's a little pressure.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, I don't even want to ask because I'm trying not to hear too much about the plot of where the time shifting goes on in this movie because somehow the Spock in your movie is able to kind of come face to face with the other Spock, and I don't even know how that happens, and I'm sure I'll figure it out once I go see the movie, but I don't want to hear too much about it.
Okay.
Speaking of time shifting, how much on the set do you guys bug J.J. Abrams to ask what the F is going on with Lost? I mean, I would imagine he's right there. How can you not say, what's the deal with 1974? What are you doing?
We learned pretty quickly to shut up about it. He's very tight-lipped.
Yeah.
There is this whole... and especially in regards to our movie, we learned quickly to shut up. There was a whole cloak and dagger operation for us, too, that we had to abide by.
So that none of the secrets of the plot would get out or whatever?
You know, that the plot and the... We had to sign agreements about... before reading the script, it was printed on this unxeroxable paper that had names... written on every page, and so that no one could photograph our costumes, we wore black ponchos every time we exited the trailer.
Awesome.
Went to sets in blacked-out golf carts.
Wow. That's an extreme amount of security.
Yeah, it was intense. And although I got to say that kind of paid off for us because it was such a pain in the a to leave the set.
Right.
Between setups, instead of going back to our trailers and making phone calls or whatever, we ended up just hanging around the stage and actually talking to each other. And we became very, very, very close. And I feel like you see that on screen a little bit.
That's cool.
We're a very good bunch.
Are you, in our remaining moments here, John, are you psyched that you guys are going to do another one? I mean, I guess the plan is you signed up for three at the first time, right?
Yeah,
are you excited already about
about doing the next one?
I don't want to look too far ahead because I'm superstitious, but if it happens...
oh, it's a slam dunk. I'm just saying that to bug you if you're superstitious.
Nothing we can say can derail this movie. It'll make $10 billion.
I am really excited. One, I want to go back and work with all these people again. It's a really great gig. But also, I got a one-year-old son, and I just think it's a really positive movie. There's been sort of, nihilistic sci-fi movies, and I feel like this one has such a kind of hopeful vision of our future that it's kind of cornball in that sense, but I buy in.
When you're a new dad, especially, that makes a big difference. Yeah, you look at it differently that way, yeah.
Well, we've been lucky enough to have you on the show a few times over the years, John, but we couldn't be prouder of your success, and we're very excited about this Star Trek movie that opens up everywhere on Friday, and I hope you'll come back and see us again when you can.
Oh, thanks a lot. Anytime, guys.
We have to take a quick break. When we return, your chance to win your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2009. We're going to play another round of Kevin and Bean's title fight. So if you are familiar with the bands on the bill, you'll have a real advantage. Give us a call. We'll take your calls right now. 1-800-520-1067. Play the game next right after this. We found out yesterday that Miss Cleo, who answers the phones here on the Kevin and Bean Show, her boobs weigh 8 pounds. That was what we found out yesterday. So
I thought that was a Will Smith movie, but it turns out.
That's right.
Miss Cleo is in the studio along with Ralph, along with Lisa, because it's time to give away some more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2009. And we're going to play that with a little game that we like to call the Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to battle concert.
Sounds a little bit like Scoops Callahan is back on the program. Ralph, I think you came up with this game originally way back in the day. Tell us how we're going to play it here.
What Lisa and Cleo will be doing is describing for you names of the bands that are performing at this year's K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. Now, they cannot use any of the words in the band's name to describe it, so they'll have to be describing for you in a roundabout way, giving you clues, and then you'll have to guess. Now, if you can't guess, you can always pass and move on to save time and then come back to it at the end of the list. But you try to get as many as you can in the 30 seconds we have allotted, and whoever gets the most will win the tickets.
Okay. Now, because we're talking about band names, we're going to be very specific here about not using the words. Even though there are some thes and some ofs in these band names, don't use those, right?
Right.
Okay.
No words. No words that are in the name of the band.
Kidding?
No ofs and the?
Well, not if they're in the band title.
If they're in the band name. Right. If they're in the name of the band. Right. All right. Who's our first contestant, Kevin? Who are we going to go to?
We have
to
David in Long Beach. Hey, David.
Okay.
And we have Casey. Hi, Casey.
Hi.
Okay. All right, David, who would you like to be your partner here this morning? Do you want to receive from Miss Cleo or from Lisa May? And how do you even choose between those two?
I'll take 16 pounds.
16 pounds?
All right. No, it's 8 pounds for between the two
for
of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, whatever.
8 pounds combined.
Combined, right, okay.
All right.
All right, Miss Cleo, so you understand what you're doing here. You're going to try to get him to name as many of these bands that are playing the Weenie Roast as you can, and we have time on the clock, so hit it, Steve.
With food, it's what we live on. It's a guy's name.
Ross?
No. you put an animal in this, and then it's a big animal.
Cage the elephant.
A letter, and it's super large. Super large letter.
Big B?
Yep.
It's not good for you. It's bad. It's hazardous.
Everyone talks of it.
Yes.
This is when something's gone really, really bad,
rancid.
Sour.
Wow.
We're going to go back to the first one. You put something, when you put something in your mouth, what do you do?
Hey, easy there.
Hey, that was just nice. Getting good.
Good nice job, Miss Cleo.
That was a nice round, Cleo.
Yeah.
All right.
That was 4 out of 5.
Because we didn't get these clues beforehand.
Jimmy Eat World was the one she was having trouble with. She's talking about we live on the earth
that's
and stuff
hard.
Like that. Yeah. But that was, you two were a fantastic contestant, by the way. Very well done,
nice
David. So
done,
the
David.
Pressure's on Casey.
Four
so she's going to have to try to beat that or get four faster. Is that how it works?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can pass. Don't forget.
Okay.
Are you ready, Casey?
All right, Casey. Good luck. Good luck. Here's Lisa May. Time on the clock and hit it.
All right. There's princes, and this would be the father of the prince.
They're princes?
There's a prince.
Leon.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a little truck that you can drive, and it's a metallic color.
Pass.
Okay. when you're telling a story, a fib, it's a little... When you're telling a fib, what do you call those? You're not telling the truth. You're telling a...
Oh, come on.
You there, Casey?
A story that's not true.
She's not there.
Okay. Casey there?
Oh, she dropped.
She's not there. Her phone dropped.
Oh.
That would explain
it.
Well,
I thought she was so stupid.
I did, too.
Well, what that means is, by default, our winner is David.
Wow. That's a shame for her.
Congratulations.
Heck of a way to win.
Yeah. She wasn't going to win anyway.
Yeah.
When she passed on Silver Sun Pickups, you go, all right, well.
No, David, you clearly deserve to win. Congratulations. All we'll see you a week from Saturday at the K-Rock Radio Rose Fiesta 2009. Wow. Nice job to both of our players here today. Well done, you guys.
Find my boobs, David.
Wow.
Well, all right now.
Hey. Same invitation.
Who knew that was part of the...
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Didn't have my mic on. I have to turn my mic on. When I begin speaking, I should turn the mic on. Sorry, my bad.
It's 8:52. Ralph joins us for a final look at the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets for Angels and Demons?
Ooh.
The new film from Ron Howard and Tom Hanks. Of course, the sequel to the very, very popular The Da Vinci Chronicles.
What? Code.
That's it.
Code, right.
Yeah. We've got the special K-Rock advanced screening of this movie. It's going to be on the Sony Pictures lot, so you get a chance to see a actual movie studio as well. Five lucky winners will get to go, and here's your trivia question. This is the fourth time Tom Hanks has been directed by Ron Howard in a motion picture. What was the first film they did together? Very first film. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five people will get through with the correct answer. Get a pair of tickets to the special advanced K-Rock screening of Angels and Demons. Ryan Reynolds. Things just keep working out for this guy. Inexplicably. Fox has announced today that they are developing a spin-off movie for him based on the character Deadpool he plays in the Wolverine film.
Interesting.
So he will get his own X-Men movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not interesting.
Why does he bug me so much, Ralph? What is it about Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know, but I'm right there next to him.
Because everyone says he's a super good guy, but he just is blank on screen to me.
I don't get the attraction. I don't understand it. I know girls think he's dreamy, but I just don't find him the least bit charismatic. Or all that talented, quite frankly.
Somehow he got Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fine in the X-Men movie. He's only in it for like 3 minutes, really, in the beginning and then at the end. And apparently, if you stay all the way through the credits of Wolverine, you do see him reappear, apparently. One of the, like, some of those faux endings, you know, when you get through the credits, they have those extra bonus scenes at the end. Apparently, there's a couple different ones. Depending on which screening you go to, you might see a different sort of bonus ending.
Huh.
But one of them features Ryan Reynolds. So, they're talking about giving him his own movie.
It was the X-Men movie with the Magneto and the chess set at the end after the credits that made me realize I'm never walking out of a movie before the credits are over again. Because
I still
that was
go.
So cool.
I'm like, you know what? Really? If you need really to fool me that much, but make with the good on you then. You win. I'd lose.
I don't have 10 minutes.
I'm going out. I'm getting my car so I can get out of the parking lot. I don't care. I don't really. Someone will tell me, and it's not that big a deal. I'm sure. Do we have a winner to my trivia question?
We do. We have Carlos at Anaheim.
Carlos.
Hey, party people.
Hey there, what was the first film that Tom Hanks and Ron Howard did together?
That would be Splash.
It would be Splash, absolutely correct. Congratulations, hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Angels and Demons.
Excellent.
Great.
Nicely done, hold on.
Of course, they did Apollo 13.
Oh, right.
After that.
About Apollo 13.
And then they did Da Vinci Code and now Angels and Demons. I thought they worked together more than that, but my research proved they just did four films. Michael Keaton, they've done a lot of films together. They did Michael Keaton and Ron Howard.
They have?
Yeah, done a lot of films together. Mindy Kaling. You know her from The Office. NBC is so pleased with her work on that show, they are developing her own comedy for her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She just got a big deal with NBC to develop her own TV show.
Now, Ralph, I know you hate the Twitter more than anything, but I found out about Mindy Kaling's new show thanks to a Twitter from Rainn Wilson yesterday.
And
so information is being exchanged. No,
and
information is being exchanged that is useful on Twitter. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah, like yesterday when you tried to tell me that, oh, big doings over on the American Idol set. Someone got hurt. This is big news. It's going to be big news. Someone got hurt over there. Oh, they're going to tell me in a few minutes who it was. It turns out to be some lackey, some stage manager twisted an ankle or something.
You can blame Seacrest for tweeting that. I'm not saying you got to know your sources, but Rainn Wilson did have good information.
What's wrong with you?
How could you not?
Easily. What is wrong with you?
And because you found out about Mindy Kaling's development deal with NBC before I did
yesterday,
that means something to you.
I love her so much. She's one of my favorite characters on The Office. She's so fantastic as Kelly. I'm just excited that she's going to have a show because I think she's very talented.
Right? What? But still.
I'm just trying to point out that there is a use for Twitter. That's all.
For Twitter?
Or Twitter.
Yeah. Or Twitter, whatever it's called.
It's called Twitter.
Whatever it is.
I think it's called tweeting.
I am no shape for this argument. Yeah,
no, just let it go. Let it go.
What time is it? Okay. Let's get to celebrity birthdays.
Ralph, very hungover.
Ralph, before we go.
I'm on the bad end of a drunk right now.
Before we go, and the reason Ralph is hurting this morning is because we broadcast from Costa Mesa yesterday afternoon. We did the Cinco de la Seco. And we want to thank, the place, the Chronic Cantina, that had us. They were fantastic.
Are you hungover?
What? I said, A, we want to thank the place, Chronic Cantina, that had us over.
Okay.
And B, we debuted something yesterday. And if we have time, I'd like to squeeze in one time before the end of the program today because you uncovered a new ad campaign that we had not heard anything about.
Oh, the Dos Equis people who were kind enough to sponsor our event yesterday. Great beer. I was drinking Dos Equis all day. I don't blame them for my hangover.
You shouldn't.
It was probably the tequila more than it was the Dos Equis. yeah, they've got that great campaign that we love called The Most Interesting Man in the World. It's a great radio and TV commercial.
I don't know
campaign.
Who he is, but I need his approval.
He's awesome.
For some reason,
I'm no Mo, but I want him. He is awesome. Well, we found out they've got a brand new campaign they're starting, sort of an answer campaign to The Most Interesting Man in the World called The Least Interesting Man in the World.
Oh.
And it turns out it stars our very own Dave the King of Mexico.
How about that? He's gone national.
His texts are so boring, his thumbs fall asleep as he types them. He has to nap while watching baseball because the game is simply too fast-paced for him. He wears fingerless gloves just so that people will go, "Hey, that dude's gloves have no fingers." His game is so weak, he once turned himself down for sex. His love for boring sweaters is so great that even his penis wears a turtleneck. He is Dave, the King of Mexico. The least interesting man in the world.
I don't usually drink beer because it's like all full of calories and it makes me all bloated and my stomach gets all bonkers. But if I did, I'd probably drink Dos Equis.
Dos Equis beer. Drink responsibly.
Stay sleepy, my friends.
Wow, that's something.
Stay sleepy.
Whole different angle with that.
Sure is. The opposite angle.
That is not the same as interesting.
it's diametrically opposed.
That's correct.
That's what
he's
call
less
it.
Interesting than the guy who's in the current campaign, it seems to me.
He is the antithesis
that's correct.
Of the guy they're currently featuring in their campaign. I think that's
they have
the point.
Opposite levels of being interesting.
I think they are the omega and the alpha of interest. They run the gamut from A to Z.
If there was a spectrum
of interest, they would be at two opposite ends of that spectrum.
Pretty sure people get it.
So the guy on the TV commercial, he'd be a 10 in terms of how interesting he is.
On a scale.
On the scale of 1 to 10. Dave, all the way down at 1, because he's not interesting at all.
Exactly.
I think I get it now.
Okay. Not a celebrity birthday. Bob Seger, 64 years old today. Alan Dale, very talented actor who plays Charles Widmore on Lost. He was also in The O.C., 62 years old today. Tom Bergeron turns 54. Roma Downey, touched by an angel. Now she's touched by Mark Burnett. She is 49. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 38. Adrian Palicki almost made it through this list. 26 years old today. And George Clooney, one of my favorites, one of my heroes, is 48 years old today.
Is that why you put the picture up? Because he's one of your heroes?
Well, I just feel a little better about myself knowing that if he looked like that at like 10 or 12, maybe there's hope for me.
Mm-mm.
Now?
Maybe something magically is going
to
happen.
George Clooney, really? If you go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean page, it's the picture of the day, and he is the biggest dork you've ever seen. Yeah, how old? 12?
Bowl hair. I think he's like 10 or 11, actually. Oh. Bowl haircut, glasses, yeah. Turtleneck sweater.
Makes Major us feel nerd. Better about ourselves. Major although he did grow up into one of the most beautiful people. We didn't, but.
He did shape up.
There was a time out. When he was ugly.
Yes, there was. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is Wednesday afternoon. That means 24 hours from right now, give or take 10 minutes. Tickets will go on sale for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2009 tomorrow afternoon at 5 to buy tickets for this show. There's no lineups. There's no calling on the phone. There's only getting them online. You must be a K-Rock Street Team member. That's free and easy to join. And all the details to make sure you have a shot at getting those tickets tomorrow afternoon are available for you at krock.com.
You know who we have on the phone? Bean is Mole.
Oh.
Never talked to Mole.
Kevin Bean, you know who it is? It's Mole.
Right. Yeah. We said.
Yes. That's what we said.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Mole.
What's going on?
You guys guess where I am. I'm at the Chronic Cantina.
The Chronic Cantina?
Where are you guys?
That was yesterday. That was on Cinco de Mayo. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
I got to update this day runner. I'm still in a 98 calendar. It switches, right? It does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone said that.
I guess eventually.
I timed out pretty good Monday, too. It was Star Wars Monday.
Star Wars Monday.
That's right, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's a total Trekkie. She's so fat.
Okay, but the Star Trek is different from the Star Wars anyway, Tony. But listen. Well, we're just doing our regular show here on Kick.
Can you hear us?
We're doing our regular. You guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, you know what I'm doing, though? I'm still going to celebrate all things Mexican today.
What is that?
Well, that's
I'm
going to
celebrate Del Taco, and I'm going to celebrate avocados and El Camino, the car and the town. I'm going to celebrate airborne fecal matter and rubber wallets and cinder blocks.
What are you?
Come on.
Donkey zebras.
Why are you bad?
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on with the hot dog show this year? You guys doing it?
The Weenie Roast.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one of you guys is going to pick me up? Because that gets screwed up every year.
Bean is going to give Lisa the directions.
Sure.
Can I tell you guys the plan this year for
yes,
us?
Yes, yes.
We rally in the AM.
Right.
Hit some big up Dr. Daniels. It's Dr. Pepper and Jack Daniels.
Okay.
Then bum rush the show, old school.
That sounds like a hell of a day.
Tall guy routine. Who's in?
I like it.
I think I'm in, actually. I think that sounds like a fun time.
Cure concerts. Mm-hmm. More Mexican stuff. Eat right, Gladstones.
What?
Concert
what
about Gloss? City Walk?
What is he talking
what
about?
What are you talking about?
These are all the things Mexican that I love.
Well, I don't think B.D. Wong is Mexican.
Spicy fruit salad.
What?
Weapons grade plutonium.
What are you talking about?
These are all my favorite Mexican things for Cinco de Mayo.
Those aren't Mexican things. What are the Mexicans? What is that?
Blue Ranch Doritos, Hep C and Sunny D, Cheech but not Chon.
Mole, I'm sorry that
supply rentals.
I'm sorry you missed our party yesterday, but next year, just remember Cinco.
Universal City Walk.
You haven't mentioned it yet, but
it's
I'm trying to help you out here, Mole. Next year,
go to Meyer, you dude.
Oh, never mind.
All right. The hot dog show.
All right. Minutes away from Ralph's Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday afternoon. First, though, we have to take care of some business, Kevin. We got this email from listener Nick, who I think needs our help, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. And yourself?
Very well, thank you. So we got your email, Nick, and it says, it's really been bugging me now, but who is this Asian lady at every Lakers game? She sits a few seats down from Jack Nicholson and is not very attractive. But why does she deserve Laker tickets more than I do? She seems to be there for the last however many years, right?
Yeah.
All right, so what is it about her that made you go to the elaborate lengths of sending us an email, including photos of her in the crowd? What is it about her that bugs you so much?
Well, you know, I've been following the series, and she's at every game pretty much.
She
and
is.
She just sits there with no expression on her face, and it pisses me off because I wish I was there.
Yeah.
And let alone courtside. Come on.
It does seem like she's paying maybe half attention.
But she's there every game.
Right. Which,
so she must care.
That's a lot of work, but the caring hasn't made it to her face in quite some time.
Yeah, it seems like why is she even there if she doesn't care?
Now, we do put up a picture at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Who is this lady is what it's titled. And we're trying to figure out who she is because in a perfect world, I believe you want to marry her. Is that correct?
You know, if she would want to marry me, then I'm all for it because then I got courtside tickets to Lakers for life.
Right.
Now, is this a deal breaker for you that she looks just like our dear leader Kim Jong Il from North Korea?
You know, deal breaker. I could live with that.
Yeah, because he would be sitting on the court for Laker games.
Right.
This is what's funny. This is what I love about Nick, and this is what I love about people because we're all thinking the same thing. How does she get courtside seats? In one photo, she's sitting next to Bruce Willis, who's sitting next to Jack Nicholson. How does she get courtside seats if we don't recognize her? She has to be famous in order to get courtside seats in our mind.
I know, and like it doesn't seem like she's there with anybody, does it? I mean,
not usually. Usually, she's sitting there by herself and not enjoying it.
That is baffling.
It's possible she's just, I mean, I'm sure there are lots of other people who have great seats who are just anonymous people in that they're not in the public eye, but they happen to be wealthy enough to be able to afford it. I mean, that must be her deal, right?
Or inherited, you know?
That's possible.
From someone else? Yeah, who knows how or why she's there, but we've been trying to figure out who she is off the air for quite some time, and we don't know. So if anyone knows, give us a call so that we can hook her up with Nick, and he can put a smile on her face.
Oh, I'll put a smile on it.
I'm glad you called this to our attention. The phone number, if you want to call, if you've got a tip on who this obviously rich lady is who goes to all the Laker games, is 1-800-520-1067. Or you can email any of us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then Nick will get back to you and let you know what we find out, and we'll set you two up on a date, okay?
Perfect. She could take me to the next Laker game.
Oh, that'll be the date. All right.
Wow. All right.
You might want to come
on Lisa May's face as well.
You might. Wow. All right. Wow. You might want to come on a little less strong about the Lakers, though. I'm saying you want to woo her first and then have her start taking you to games.
And of course, there's another game tonight. I guess it's on TNT, right? And we'll be watching that game, game two of the series against the Rockets. And we'll be looking for her because inevitably she shows up on every telecast because she's right there courtside. So we'll be looking for your girlfriend tonight. All right, Nick?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll get back
to you. Thank you. We gave away another pair of tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2009 a few minutes ago here on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. You can buy your tickets tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow, get all your details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman, have you recovered from this time yesterday when we were down in Costa Mesa for Cinco de la Mayo?
I've bounced back a little bit.
Yeah.
It wasn't this time yesterday that he had a problem with. It was much later at night, like about midnight.
Yeah. It was 10 o'clock last night that I had the problems with. Didn't eat a lot either. We had that plate of hors d'oeuvres during the show, but I didn't really get a chance to eat much.
Yeah.
The shots kept coming fast and furiously. So.
That one little minx, that waitress kept just bringing chilled vodka shots and tequila shots.
She was trying to destroy us, I'm very sure.
Yeah, you could barely get the glass down on the table after doing a shot when another one magically appeared. And every single time she came around, Ralph would say, "You're a bad girl."
Yeah.
And then he'd do the shot.
Yeah.
Well, we had a great time. I want to thank again the Chronic Cantina in Costa Mesa for having us, and thanks to all the K-Rock fans that came out, and we appreciated it. It was a good time.
Thanks for Dos Equis, too, for picking up the tab.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good people. This Kiefer Sutherland story gets weirder and weirder.
Started out weird.
It's happened in New York City last night. I guess Monday night, rather. It is the Met there has this giant costume gala for the fashion world.
You
and the celebrities show up. I know, Kevin.
Like, we don't go pretty much every year.
Right. And Kiefer Sutherland was there. And Jack McCullough, a designer, was in a heated conversation, apparently, with Brooke Shields. Now, Brooke Shields told police that nothing happened between the two of them. However, witnesses say now that this Jack McCullough shoved Brooke Shields. They were in a heated argument, and he shoved her.
Really?
And apparently a well-served Kiefer Sutherland stumbled over and said, "You need to apologize to her right now," to which the guy said, "Mind your own business," or something, and so Kiefer reared back and gave him a headbutt.
Yeah!
Wow, you don't expect that at a party,
I gotta tell you, you think punch, you never think headbutt.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Police are still investigating find out what's going on, but it was weird that Brooke said after the fact that nothing happened between the two of them. What is she hiding? I wonder. I think she needs to be frisked. Vigorously. With a cavity search thrown in just to be sure that everything's okay. So, yeah, we'll follow the story and find out more about it, but it's a case of he said, she said. He headbutted. It's one of those cases.
Right, sure.
Zac Efron.
Nope.
Is a tremendous...
No,
that's
not even
true,
a little
by the
bit.
Way.
That's the news.
How dare you?
Wait a minute. Hold on. What's the story on my sweet Zach?
No, Zach says that he is he's trying to quell the rumors that he wears false eyelashes.
He's just naturally pretty.
Those eyelashes are all his.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. Hey, Ralph.
Yes.
Can you not do any Zac Efron stories because
he tells OK Magazine,
he's so awesome?
Despite the fact that everyone thinks he's very into cosmetics, he's not, he says.
Yeah,
he's not much of a metrosexual, he claims.
Sure.
And has never worn a set of false eyelashes in his entire life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's just natural.
Yep.
Just natural copious amounts of eyelash there. It's just all him.
He's just a lucky boy, that's all.
You know how he gets his lashes looking so long and full?
Oh, Ralph.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh, that camera is so beautiful.
I didn't realize that worked so well, but
yeah. All right. Congratulations to my friends over at Family Guy and, by association, The Cleveland Show. Fox has just announced they have picked up a second season of The Cleveland Show. This is kind of odd because the first season has yet to begin airing, but they've already ordered a second season.
Wow,
so
it must be really good.
That's how much they are behind this new show. So you'll be able to see Cleveland well into the 2011 season.
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of it either, but it's good news for those guys.
How much does Seth MacFarlane have to do with this show?
He is creator, executive producer, I believe.
Okay. So he's not writing. He's not sitting around trying to write Family Guy, American Dad, and The Cleveland Show.
No, he doesn't. They've got a full staff of writers now on all those shows, and Seth does contribute from time to time, but he doesn't do a lot of the writing anymore.
All three are great.
I don't know about Cleveland. He directs almost every episode, though, in terms of the voice direction. I know that. I'm always working with him when I do lines over there, and I know he's doing the same with American Dad. So, Seth's deal with Fox is $100 million, I think.
Wow.
For these three series.
Good for him.
So, yeah, he deserves it. He works hard. And
did you say he works hard for his money?
I would say that, Donna Summer. Bono has written a poem about Elvis Presley.
Well, he loves Elvis.
And it's going to have its world premiere next Wednesday on BBC Radio. It's 14 minutes long.
Oh, come on.
And he is going to read it live for the first time on BBC Radio. It's called American David, and he wrote it originally back in 1994, but he's looking forward to performing it on BBC Radio 4 this week. So there you have it.
Bono is an interesting dude in that he is fascinated with America and really fascinated with early rock stars like Elvis Presley. I mean, I guess he's one of those guys. That's how he got into rock and roll, is because he idolized people like Elvis. I mean, they've done U2 songs about Elvis before.
Yeah, but do we need a 14-minute epic poem?
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, to be read by Bono on radio?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. That's what you get when you get state-run radio people. You get people reading poems for 14 minutes. Unacceptable.
That's the way it is in Britain, right? The government
state-owned, all the media. Yeah. How about television and radio?
Well, no, there is competition. There are private companies that own radio stations and television stations also, but they have to compete with the government, who obviously has, you know, way more at their disposal, way more money at their disposal to make programming. Would you like to take another run at that?
I would.
May 6th, historically, are not good shows for Kevin and Bean.
No, they're not. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Adrian Palicki. I'd like to Palicki her.
What is wrong with
Ralph?
You?
What? You wouldn't? Have you seen her?
She is the beautiful Tyra on Friday Night Lights for folks who do not recognize her name.
Don't like that name. Don't like that character's name.
Tyra, yeah. All Tyra's bad.
Good. All Tyras are bad.
Mm-hmm.
She's 26 years old today. Chris Shiflett. It's not easy to say hungover.
No, it isn't.
I almost came out.
Right, but we wouldn't be able to say that.
No, okay. But I almost said that.
Right.
Foo Fighters, 38 years old today. Actor George Clooney. He's more than an actor.
Yes.
He's a director. He's a god. He's a man amongst men.
He's a dork.
He's the most interesting man in the world. He's 48 years old today. Roma Downey from Touched by an Angel is 49. Tom Bergeron, host of Dancing with the Stars, is 54. Did you see who got voted off last night, Lisa?
Nicely done. Thank you, Ralph. That was a good effort.
Damn, I thought I was going to pull her in.
I paid Lisa so that she can't talk about that show.
Lil' Kim got the boot.
Did
she? Much to everyone's surprise, yeah.
Wow.
People in female prisons everywhere are upset right now, I'm telling you that. Tom Bergeron is 54. Alan Dale from Lost in the OC is 62. And singer Bob Seger celebrates his 64th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.